B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And a good Tuesday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas. No Anthony Gargano today. He is out feeling a little under the weather, so we wish nothing but the best for Anthony and hope that he will be back tomorrow. He is not out with the blues. I will tell you that. He's got the sniffles. He's not out because the Sixers lost yesterday. But boy, did that suck. That was just a total kick in the nuts yesterday, if we're being honest with ourselves, because you have a 19-point lead, and we just see this over and over again with the Sixers. And it's not just Doc Rivers. It goes back to the Brett Brown days. It's the same thing. I'm getting tired of it. Why is it the same thing over and over and over again with all of our teams, right? It's not just the Sixers. The Phillies can't develop an outfielder to save their lives. So, yeah, go ahead. Let's bring back Odubel Herrera. We can't get a starting pitcher from our farm system. That's why we got to go with Zach Eflin, who's hurt every single year. The Flyers. Do I have to even start? 1975? Really? Come on now. And then the Eagles, they're not really my biggest worry right now, but we're dealing with the Sixers today, and of course, that's going to be a huge topic of conversation today, because for the first time, I got a little pang of worry yesterday. You know, I got a ton of tweets last night. Are you still not worried? Still not this? John Kincaid called me out during the crossover there. I wasn't really the one calling people scared, but I was, you know, a part of the group of people that said, yo, let's hold off. It's one game. It's one loss. And that, of course, was the Brooklyn Nets loss. I hated what I saw. Like, I was worried about things during that Brooklyn Nets game. I pointed out right away the depth issues, because the Brooklyn Nets can throw at you Goran Dragic. They can throw at you Patty Mills. Everybody hates Ben Simmons, but he wasn't even playing. They can throw out all kinds of guys. Bruce Brown might end up be coming off the bench for the Nets at some point, and he's a talented player. The Nets have a lot of pieces, a lot of pieces. Whereas the Sixers, if George Niang is not feeling it, like he wasn't last night because he played 35 minutes the previous night. And oh, by the way, because Embiid was in foul trouble, they had to put Niang on Jokic at times yesterday, which that's not a good matchup, especially for a guy who's already got weak legs and relies on those legs to shoot threes. If you don't have George Niang going, what do you have off the bench? You really don't have anything. You know, I heard Mark Jackson last night post game on NBC Sports Philly. He said you got to give Shake a little bit more of a chance. I think Shake Milton could maybe have some sort of slasher role or transition role, but what, for 10 to 15 minutes? He's not a 20, 25-minute player. Korkmaz, don't just give me he's cold. No, he's been cold for the season. He's shooting below 30% from three. I'm glad that Doc's not giving him any run. There's obviously all the talk about, oh, give B-Ball Paul a shot. Give Isaiah Joe a shot. I don't know if they're ready to play. I had a guy so desperate last weekend that he emailed me. And I'm not ripping him, but this is how desperate we are. He emailed me asking if the Sixers should call up Springer. And I'm just like, no. Like, if he was any talented, he'd be up already. Like we saw with Maxey last year. Maxey was so talented that he was actually able to play in big spots for you. Springer's not even talented enough to, you know, when he's even up, because he's a two-way player, he's not even talented to be up and playing at times. But that's how desperate we are. So last night, you look at this game against the Nuggets, you have a 19-point lead that you blow, and it's because when Embiid's not on the court, when Harden isn't aggressive enough, as I pointed out during the crossover, which that confuses me at times, then what? You know, Tobias is going to do his thing on some nights. Tyrese is going to do his thing. It was nice to see him back to scoring last night. I think we made a little too much of the Maxey low-scoring nights against the Nets and the Magic because, look, Tobias Harris got involved. I think what we have to come to terms with is it's going to be Embiid and Harden. Every single game, it's going to be Embiid and Harden. But then some nights it's going to be Maxey. Some nights it's going to be Tobias. And that I think we have to come to terms with because immediately, the second they lose to the Nets, and I get it, that was an awful loss, but the second the Sixers lose to the Nets and we see that Maxey didn't do much offensively, it's, oh my God, oh, how are they going to make this work? Well, they just made it work the previous five games. But now, in the next two, right, you barely squeak out a win against the Magic. And then yesterday, you blow a lead to the Denver Nuggets. And in a game where we were all excited about the Embiid-Jokic matchup, don't be a fool and say that Jokic won the matchup because the Nuggets won the game. Embiid won the matchup, but that doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if Joel Embiid wins MVP if the Sixers lose in the second round of the playoffs. It doesn't matter. I like individual awards for our guys. It makes me happy. I was fired up that Bryce Harper won MVP last year. I thought Zach Wheeler should have won Cy Young, but the big story is for the Philadelphia Phillies last year, they didn't make the playoffs and they had another collapse. The Sixers, if Joel Embiid wins the MVP, all right, great. High five. But if you lose in the second round of the playoffs because you have a lot of similar issues that you have in the past, that's a problem. So yesterday, before the game even started, was when the worry hit me. Before the game even started, I have to see Doc Rivers say in his pregame press conference that he thinks the Sixers can go 11 deep. And so I know that we said that Doc's going to change. Well, I didn't. People said that Doc's going to change with James Harden. He told you that two starters will be out there at all times. And I know that at points, like there's going to be a minute left and a half, so you're going to kind of empty the bench a little bit if you have a nice little lead or whatever, if you can trust the bench that you have. You empty the bench for a minute, give the guys an extra minute before halftime to get a breather. That's going to happen. But playing legitimate minutes, he said that he could go 11 deep. And he went with the full team yesterday, almost, right? You had Shake Milton giving you 8 minutes. You had DeAndre Jordan giving 12. Danny Green gave you nothing. Nothing in 14 minutes. And then you had, your 25 minutes out of George Niang, 26 minutes out of Matisse, and then you had your 30-plus from Tobias and Embiid and Maxey and Harden. So you didn't even have all 11 yesterday. You're saying you can go 11 deep. Doc, I know I can't ask you some questions because you're Greg Popovich. I know I can't ask the same questions that I would ask Greg Popovich because you're the same person. I don't get that because I would ask Greg Popovich, hey, what the hell happened tonight? Why'd you lose a 19-point lead? But before the game even starts, I have to hear from Doc Rivers saying, hey, man, we're 11 deep. And I had people, again, tweeting at me, oh, you love the Doc Rivers hire. I tried to tell you it was a bad one. I like the Doc Rivers hire because of pedigree. Just like I like the Joe Girardi hire for the Phillies because of pedigree. Brett Brown wasn't it. And I know there are people that are telling me that Tyronn Lue should be the guy. I didn't really like Ty Lue. I thought LeBron called a lot of the shots when they were together. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But I enjoyed having Doc Rivers hired because I go, all right, this is a guy with pedigree. You have two young players. This is before Ben Simmons has his meltdown. You have two young, talented players in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons that might need a kick in the ass because I don't think Brett Brown was providing that. I think he was coddling them too much. And then we ended up seeing Doc Rivers coddle Ben Simmons for an entire year, except he had a moment of weakness after the final game against the Hawks when he said, I don't know. And those three words set everything up. But there were a lot of people concerned about Doc Rivers, the blown series leads when he was with the Clippers. I pointed out that he should have won more than one title with the Boston Celtics, who they believe that team's a dynasty. I don't understand it. That Celtics team believe they're a dynasty. They won one title. So Doc Rivers now uninspiring, still saying that he can go 11 guys deep. And then in game, there's just moments where I go, what? The other night against the Magic, I thought he called a good game down the stretch. The fourth quarter, I thought he called a good game. He got Tobias Harris some open shots. Things happened. Things worked out. But then last night, 13 seconds left. The Nuggets, one free throw missed, make the other. They're up three. I am totally okay with them not calling the timeout after the free throw. I am. For one reason. 13 seconds is a lifetime in the NBA. It's a long time. If you ever watch a college basketball game, you know that if you're down three with 13 seconds left, you inbound it, and the guard typically busts his ass down the court, makes a layup. There's still 9 seconds left on the clock, which gives you another chance to foul. And we all know college basketball free throw is a little shaky, so they miss the 1-1. Now you're down 1 point with that timeout with 9 seconds left, 8 seconds left after the foul. So you got plenty of time. 8 seconds is a lifetime in NCAA when you have one timeout left. And when you're down 1 point, I get it. NBA, you're hitting free throws a little bit better. But I thought that they were just going to try to get the quick two. Now you're down one. There's still probably 9 seconds left. You foul somebody, they most likely hit two free throws. Now you call the timeout. And you have 8 seconds left. 8 seconds, again, in the half court is a long time to get an open look or to set up a play to hit a three to tie the game, or at least have an open look to tie the game. So that's number one, problem number one. Problem number two is when you do get it past midcourt and you're taking your dandy old time, I mean, you know, Harden kind of trotted up the court. The second Embiid comes up for that screen, and it looks ugly. Right away, it looks ugly. Harden has to dish it to Embiid because he picks up his dribble. They are lucky that the Nuggets kind of had miscommunication, which then opened Niang up in the corner. They were lucky that that happened. But the second that things start to break down, call the timeout. I'm pretty sure there's about 6 seconds left on the clock, which again is a lifetime in basketball to get an open shot. So you have 6 seconds left, call the timeout. Instead, they do the kick out to George Niang. He almost misses water when he fell out of the boat by hitting the side of the backboard. We all know the floater attempt, which was dumb. Maxie's wide open for three. I'll even say this. When Niang gets the rebound, call a timeout. Now, then again, you are trained. If you take a shot, you know, people are going for a rebound. Somebody's going to be open, and Maxie was there. So I get not calling the timeout there, but all I'm saying is, like, the way that game closed out yesterday, don't leave a timeout. It doesn't carry over to the next game. It doesn't. So Doc Rivers, concerning to me yesterday. And now, because we have this 11-deep bench that we're talking about, well, if it's so deep, you might need to mix up your starting five at times. You might need to, because yesterday you saw, and I don't blame Joel Embiid for needing a breather early on. I really don't. Second game of back-to-back, he's playing the most games of his career. He's not doing the load management. So, listen, he's going to need breathers at times. And he's going up against Jokic. It's a tough matchup. They're banging down low. So Embiid needs a breather. The problem is you can't have Embiid come off and then it just looked that bad. And that's when James Harden needs to step up a little bit. 11 field goal attempts is way too little. 2 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter, way too little. And I know that Doc Rivers was asked about it after the game, and he said, yeah, you know, we got to do a better job at getting James the ball. Let Harden go to work. His isolation game is one of the best parts of his game. Let him go to work. And I know Bob was saying it. Maybe he's lost a step. Okay, but still, I'll take his step. I'll take the step that he lost over what you tried doing in the fourth quarter, which was just missed shot after missed shot after missed shot. James Harden is the best all-around scorer alongside Joel Embiid. Go to work. Like, who's guarding James Harden? And B's got to work with Jokic. So that was confusing me. I can't believe the words James Harden needs to be more aggressive is coming out of my mouth. I can't believe it. So we're going to react to the Sixers' loss today, from last night's game. You can jump in at 610-632-0975. Yes, for everybody that tweeted me last night, I put the phone down. But for everybody that tweeted me last night, hey, are you worried now? Is it still just one game? Listen, it was just one game against the Nets for me. It was. Now, was I using that as sort of a barometer of where they were? Of course, but all the emotion with Ben Simmons, the Nets just didn't miss, and obviously the defense is a concern. I wasn't going to use that Nets game as the sky's falling down. I, quite frankly, wasn't using the Magic game as sky's falling down because I go, listen, you're playing the Magic, you're going to take them lightly. But yesterday, the only excuse you can give is second game of a back-to-back. That's the only excuse you can give. Other than that, you see the bench issues, you see coach issues, you see James Harden still trying to get integrated into the offense, but clock is ticking. I told people, for the people that freaked out about Tobias Harris, and I know he only had 10 points last night, but there were a lot of people that said, Tobias stinks. He doesn't stink. He had to change his game. He had 24 regular season games and counting, still time. He has 24 regular season games to try to adapt. Just last year, he was a 40% three-point shooter and had similar of a role that you see now with James Harden when Ben Simmons was the point guard of the team. 40% three-point shooter. So he had to kind of get back to where he was last year, and you're starting to see him hit more threes. You saw it against the Brooklyn Nets. He had a big game against the Orlando Magic. I get it was just the Magic, but if they lost, we would have freaked out a lot more. So good for Tobias Harris having that big game against the Magic. So I said that Tobias is going to get better. He doesn't just stink. James Harden, because it looks so great through five games, I think we all thought, oh, look, it's perfect. he still needs to get integrated a little bit. He does. And that's kind of the one thing that's going to keep me grounded from totally freaking out is that it is just 6-7 games with James Harden on the court with the Sixers. And that's like the one thing that's kind of keeping me grounded. I don't think that what you're seeing right now is going to be a mess that we're going to see every single night. It's going to pop up again. It will. They're going to lose a game that's going to disappoint you. But my saving grace, the thing that's holding me down right now, is deep breath. They still need to learn how to play with one another. Now, we've been dealing with that a lot in recent years. Jimmy Butler trade, Tobias Harris. Like, well, we're dealing with that every year. Al Horford, you know, load management. They didn't play as many games together. I get it. But that's my one thing. Now, Connor Thomas is sitting in my chair today. And Connor, we will talk about your voice at some point today because I know what you're
going through.
I know what you're going through. I did it before. But Connor Thomas, fresh off of his very fun vacation in New Orleans, working a double today. Your first day back, you're working a double. So
right into it. No load management on this side of the glass.
I appreciate you being on your skates, man. So welcome in. Your thoughts on last night's Sixers game?
I'm glad you're not freaking out because I am.
Oh, no, I'm worried, but I'm not like, I'm not sounding. Remember how we played the alarms, the tornado sounders?
Right. Yeah.
I'm not breaking glass just yet.
Oh, I'm ready.
You're breaking glass?
I'm ready. So if the button's underneath glass and you got to like lift it up, like, you know how they have the button on the desk and you lift up the little glass case and then you press. The case is lifted. My finger is on that button.
All right, so you're sweating. You're that guy in the meme that's sweating. He's the two red buttons and you get to push one or the other.
Yeah, right.
That's you right now.
My finger's on both of those buttons. And I'm just like, I don't know how you can combine the past couple games. So the Brooklyn game, the Orlando game, and what we just saw last night against the Denver Nuggets. And not look at this team. Like, how do they get from where they are now to being a championship-winning team? Because if they don't win the NBA Finals this year, it's underachieving from what they set out to do when they made the James Harden trade. Now, I know it's not totally fair to just like, hey, they've got to win the finals or bust. But that's the type of move that a James Harden trade is. It could be next year. They could restructure
it could
stuff.
Be next year.
But for me, and for them, I think when you make that trade, the expectation is you become that championship caliber team.
Well, so this might be one of the reasons why I'm not as freaked out as others, as pumped up for the trade as I was, right? Like I wanted James Harden last year. I wanted to trade Maxey, Thybulle, your boy Thybulle, Simmons and
great
picks
defensive game from him
to
last
the
night.
Houston Rockets for James Harden. I wanted to do that last year. And obviously they didn't make the trade out of spite. Houston didn't. So be it. So I'm pumped about the Harden trade. I think he makes this team better. For everybody that says they gave up too much. No, they didn't. They gave up what they had to give up. And it's not like this year, it's this year or bust, right? Like Harden is most likely going to be back next year and you can rework the roster. You can, you know, I had a conversation with Jamie over the weekend. Could you do the Bradley Beal thing?
Right.
Or do you save that max contract slot open and go for three deep bench players that are actually going to provide you some scoring and some other things that they don't have right now. But the reason why I might not be as freaked out as others is from the very beginning, I did not say Eastern Conference Finals are bust.
Wait, I said winning the Eastern Conference Finals. So you would have been fine if they go out in the second round? And it's
No.
Bust?
I'm not saying I'm okay if they lose in the second round. I need to see it first.
Okay.
Dude, I haven't seen it since 2001. I know the issues with Doc Rivers. I know the issues with James Harden in big games and all that kind of stuff. I just, like, I remember I got into it with Anthony on the show one day because he was saying, yo, Eastern Conference Finals, quite frankly, if they don't get to the finals, I'll be extremely disappointed. He said distraught if they don't get to the finals this year. And like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'll be disappointed if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I haven't seen them get out of round two yet. Now, I don't think
But they haven't had this. Like, when you make this trade, that's the expectation you set for
yourself.
Yeah, but
we knew the bench was going to be weak.
Right.
We knew from the very beginning.
But the thought
is, now Doc Rivers is reminding you that he thinks he can go 11 deep.
Which is dumb because he
said.
Right,
it is.
But that's the thing. He said when they made this trade, he's like, okay, two of the four are going to be on the floor at all times.
Yes.
And now he's just what? That goes out the window?
No, it's still going to happen. He's just going to continue to mix up the rotations where all of a sudden 11 guys are going to be involved, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, I know.
So, listen, I'm with you. If they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you might need to change coaching. You might need to do a lot of changes with players. Like, Tobias is going to have to, like, you're going to have to reshape this team if you don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But all I'm saying is I'm not freaking out as much because I didn't say, they're going to the finals after one game. I was like, well, hold on. Let me, you know, Let me see how this goes.
Yeah, I don't mean it to say that I needed them. Like, I was thinking they were going to, but that's like the level you need to achieve when you make a trade like this. Or else. And not that they're like, blow everything up like Embiid's windows closed.
Yes.
Harden stinks now.
Yeah.
But like, the Sixers change at their base level if they don't achieve to that level.
Listen,
this year.
I get it. We're a very reactionary fan base, as we should be. And I'm with you. I'm worried after last night. I am. Like, that last night, that can't happen. You can't blow a 19-point lead. But we're going to talk about it. 610-632-0975. We'll also get into the Phillies. Coming up, I'm going to talk about Nick Castellanos here. Now, the Marlins are apparently aggressively pushing for Castellanos, but Jeter was the one that wanted him. And he's not there anymore, so that's another team off the books for Nick Castellanos. I will just say this. If you don't get Castellanos or Bryant, I'm going to have a fit, dude. I'll discuss that more coming up at 10:30. 610-632-0975, 10 o'clock hour, brought to us by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all-style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Connor Thomas sitting in my chair today. I'm in for Anthony. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz today. Anthony, a little under the weather. Should be back tomorrow. I hope he's back tomorrow. So we opened the show, obviously, talking about the Sixers and the concern that a lot of people had. And I get it. Last night was the first time I got that pang of worry. And, you know, I saw your tweets. Are you still not worried? Are you still saying that you know, this is just one random game in March? No, it sucks now that three straight games have been kind of, you know, bad. And the second one you won, but it was against the Orlando Magic, and it took everything you had to come from behind to go to overtime with the Orlando Magic, who, by the way, are the only team eliminated from playoff contention in the NBA. That kind of sucks that you had to go to overtime. And then you saw it yesterday. It affected their legs. Like, George Niang couldn't hit a three to save his life. And it's not because they had this incredible defense in his face. Nah, he's probably shot from playing 35 minutes the previous night and then having to play Nikola Jokic at times when Joel Embiid was in foul trouble. And you just saw that with a lot of players, except for Danny Green, because he had not played for three games with the lacerated finger and gave you nothing yesterday. And shame on me for thinking that he was going to provide you with something. I thought when the James Harden trade happened that Danny Green was going to not find the fountain of youth, but have a little bit of a resurgence, because I thought without him needing to play 30 minutes, which we saw earlier in the year, remember Danny Green was playing 30, 35 minutes in games, and you're like, oh boy, that's not going to be good in the long run. I figured with him playing 15 minutes, you know, just has to focus on a couple open corner. He had open threes last night too, and he
had open 10-foot jumpers.
Yeah, he tries that floater. He is no game other than the three-point shot. That's his only game. It's almost like Covington. I see him put the ball on the ground. I'm like, oh boy. Like, he's got nothing else other than maybe a one dribble, step to your side, and pull up and hit the three. That's about it. I thought he'd have a bit of a resurgence, and I have not seen that so far. He's, hit a handful of threes since Harden got here. Now, again, he's not taking as many shots because he's not playing as many minutes. But yesterday, in a game where you kind of needed him to hit two or three threes because George Niang was cooked, a lot of guys were playing in the second game of a back-to-back, and you had been off for a couple of games, and I get it, you need to find your shot after missing some games, but you needed more out of Danny Green yesterday, and you just did not get it. So I had my first pang of worry yesterday. I'm not to the level of Connor, who broke the glass and is ready to push the button. Maybe I have the axe in hand.
Okay.
I'd rather do the axe.
You'd break that with the axe?
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Okay. The front side of the axe, the sharp side, or like the, I feel like the back side's probably.
Have you ever used an axe?
I went axe throwing on the bachelor party.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, and we'll talk about the bachelor party that you were on.
I stunk at it, but
dude,
yeah.
I'm lethal.
Are you?
Like, it's kind of weird that I'm that good.
I don't know. There's some Lithuanian lumberjack heritage.
There must be. Like, I've done it 3 times now. And, like, they always do the safety thing at the beginning when they're like, all right, you know, let me just see you do it so I know you're not going to. And then I, like, get it right near the bullseye and they're like, oh, are you in a league? I'm like, no. I don't know what it is. I am good with the axe throwing. I do the tomahawk. I do the one hand.
Oh, you go one-handed, too.
Yeah, I think. No, I go two-handed. But I use the smaller one. I like it. I feel like I can.
Yeah, that's all they had at this place. It was like the little hatchets.
Okay, because they had. I was at the one on Washington Avenue. I forget what it's called. It's like it's right near Chick's.
Yeah.
And you know they have the huge one, then the one that everybody uses. And then I just use the little tomahawk guy, and I'm pretty good with that.
They're precision.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with it. So, okay. So there's that. But anyways, yeah, you had the bachelor party, which we will talk about at some point today. But yeah, I'm close to breaking the glass. I can't ignore that they were 5-0 prior to the Nets game with James Harden on the court. I know they lost the game to the Heat, but he wasn't playing. They lost the game to the Celtics, but he wasn't playing, which is why I don't count that Milwaukee Bucks win, because he wasn't playing. So just like I don't count the losses to the Heat and the Celtics, I don't count the win against the Bucks, right? I'm not trying to, you know, move my narrative any sort of way. The games with James Harden on the court, they were 5-0, and they looked flawless. Flawless. And I get it. It was the T-Wolves. It was the Knicks twice. I understand that. But there says something where a guy steps on a court and it looks easy. Like right away. Forget the team that they're playing. I mean, the other team could have scored 120 points too, right? But it was the T-Wolves and the Knicks. But the fact that it looks so smooth, I was like, all right, this is going to be really good. And now the last couple of nights have been tough.
Yeah, but it didn't look flawless. They got off to slow starts. I think part of it is the base of the issue.
Well, the first game against the T-Wolves, okay,
well,
I can see why.
It's
the very first quarter together, yeah.
But like the second game against the Knicks that we were at for knockout, they were like getting smoked early and had to come back. Like, I think part of it, and you talked about it in the opening segment, he almost seemed like saying James Harden needs to be more aggressive is kind of a crazy feel, because it's like he's a top 75 player in the history of the game. I think he knows what he's doing at this point and knows his game, but it almost feels like he's trying so hard to get his new teammates involved, and he's still getting used to that, and he's trying to build up that whole, hey, I'm a team player. I'm not wanting out of Philly. I'm not going to do to you what I did to Brooklyn or Houston, whatever the perspective is. And some of that is playing into him being also part of like being on the court and wanting to be that facilitator, is playing into him being more, not necessarily less aggressive, because he's getting guys good looks with the passes, but he's being more passive personally. I think he needs to stop.
Well, and sometimes these good looks are to your man Matisse Thybulle,
who can't shoot.
He attempted, killed me. There was less than 5 minutes left.
I know exactly what you're saying about.
And he attempted a dribble step back three from the corner, and when he put the ball on the ground, and I saw his body go backwards, I said, "Oh no!" Before the shot,
I don't even know that it was a three. We got to go back and look at it. It might have been like a long two. Like, I don't know that he fully got back. Matisse Thybulle taking a long two, dude. What are they doing?
I see that happen and I go, yo, Matisse, like, I know you were feeling it a little bit yesterday. Had the 9 points early on. Played great defense. He did. But you got to know your game. And that is not it. And that's a problem. And here's the thing. So we talk about, do you change the rotations a little bit? Do you change the starting lineup a little bit so that you have a bit more of a scoring punch? Like, you know, is Tyrese Maxey still going to be considered to come off the bench at some point? Because right now you're starting five. It's pretty good. I like it. Like, I like your starting five the way that it is. But when you have your first two off the bench being Niang and Shake, well, they're not giving you much unless Niang's hot one night. And he wasn't yesterday. He clearly wasn't. So if it's not for Niang having a hot night, then what do you have? You literally have nothing.
Right. So how do you start one of those guys? Like, how does the rotation change? Like, who do you feel comfortable
with? Well, Matisse would have to be in the starting lineup because, A, defense. B, you can't have him coming off the bench to give you any offense.
Because he doesn't space at all.
Yeah, he gives you nothing. So he would have to stay in the starting lineup. And then the question is, you know, I've heard people call in and say, what if you started Niang off over Tobias Harris? I don't think you can do that. I really don't. I think, honestly, part of it is the money. It is. I get it. If you start, you don't have to play starters minutes. Like, George Niang could start and only play 20 minutes, but I like him coming off the bench with a little bit more fresh legs to hit the open three. But you're right. Like I'm not going to start Shake Milton.
No, they're kind of tied into what they're doing now.
Like, if anything, you would have to start. And I said this from the beginning. I wanted Danny Green in the starting lineup. Now, Danny Green looks cooked out there. So I would be, I think, crazy to attempt that at this point. But I said when the trade first happened, Harden, Maxey, Green, I had Thibault coming off the bench because I thought Danny Green had a little bit of life left in him. But what if you did Green and Thibault? But then what? Those are two guys that can't handle the rock. They can't really do much offensively. Now Danny Green could hit a three if he's open, I hope. I hope he didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, he's coming off of a finger injury. Like, hopefully it's rusty. I don't know.
I hope that's what it is, but it's not like he looked good before that. I mean, it's just crazy. It sucks. Last night sucked, and, you know, people are down today, as you should be. So let's commiserate. 610-632-0975. Obviously, I'm going to get into the Phillies later on this segment because they are spending money. They are.
Yeah.
Before anyone says the Phillies are cheap, they're not. They might not be spending smart money.
Well, they never promised smart money.
He did say stupid money, but I think he meant it for a different reason, but they are being stupid. Like, Familia should not have gotten $6 million. Familia should not have been signed. I know Odubel only got like 1.5, but come on, we're going to platoon. I'll get to that coming up. Let's go to Trey and Cape May, talk some Sixers. Trey, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
What's up, Trey?
I called last week and Anthony really jumped on me more, like, with the Sixers. Like, we're just not good enough, man. Like, you're talking about taking out Tobias, putting in this guy. Like, we're just not a good enough team.
Yeah, they're not that deep.
They're not that good.
Well, I would say this. I still take their top four. If Harden's got to be a little more aggressive, right? He can't finish with 11 field goals. We can all agree with that. Harden and Embiid is a top duo in the NBA. Forget what Jason McIntyre said. You add Maxey or Harris as the three.
That's regular season. Look at Denver last night. They were missing 203 best players.
Yeah, no, they were. It was a bad loss yesterday. I'm not disagreeing with you.
But like, do people come and say, oh, we won five games? They beat the Knicks, man.
Okay.
They beat the Knicks. They beat Minnesota. Or like Cleveland. Teams that don't have super stars. When they play the teams that have the big stars, they're not good enough, man. Like I said.
Well, it's been two games. It's been two games where they played the good teams.
When they play NBA veteran quality players, mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey can't guard nobody. He can't.
Yeah, you saw that against Brooklyn. It was awful.
Exactly. If you cannot win with Matisse Thybulle being in your starting lineup, he's one of them guys that does absolutely nothing, and then when he steals the ball,
well, offensively,
the crowd cheers for him.
Here's the one thing, what Matisse Thybulle has done the last couple of games that is bothering me, and Connor, I know he's your boy.
Man.
He makes an incredible defensive play. But I think he's so scared to have the ball in his hands that he quickly goes to pass it. And three games in a row, I've seen him turn it over off of a steal.
He's scared in the regular season, so just imagine him in the playoffs. We're just not good enough, man. Like, and people with all this start to parade. Like, you need to be realistic, man. We're probably the fourth best team in the East, and we need all types of breaks to go just to make it to the conference finals.
Well, listen, yeah, things are going to have to work out, Trey, and I appreciate the call. And Trey seems like he sounded the alarm when the trade happened. Like, he broke the glass when Brian Windhorst said we were in the deal zone because I guess he didn't like the trade. Again, I'm not going to get to that level just yet. I have the axe in the hand because, yes, you can tell me it was the Knicks and it was the T-Wolves. The Cavs are actually a playoff team, so let's hold off on the Cavs slander just yet. But I saw almost flawlessness. I saw in 12 quarters, 16 quarters, like three bad ones. Bad quarters out of six. That's, would you take 13 stellar quarters out of 16?
Absolutely. You can have bad quarters in a playoff game.
Yes.
Like, you can get away with it. The Hawks had bad quarters and came back no problem.
You had a really bad quarter, first quarter against the Nets, where
right
when they were down 40-25, I think it was, after one, I said game over. At home, I said game over. I hoped that coming out of halftime, they would come out with a little bit of fire, and they didn't. They did not, and they looked absolutely terrible, and that game sucked. But I was able to say, okay, maybe it was the emotions, blah, blah, blah. The Nets were on fire. How are you going to – who stops Kevin Durant in the first place? And it sucks that they may be your first-round matchup. If the Sixers finishes the 2 seed and the Nets are playing and then they play for the 7 seed, that's your first-round matchup. And we're going to be crapping our pants if that's the case. We will be. But last night, now, you know, Trey's been worried from the beginning. Last night was my first time where I felt legit worry.
Yeah, I had a little bit. So, like, the glass was splintered. It had, like, one of those spider cracks, like when a rock hits the windshield. The glass was splintered for me after the Brooklyn game.
Okay.
And, yeah, now it's just full on. I'm through the glass. I broke it. Let's see if the button gets pushed.
All right. Sounds good. Are you encouraged that Zach Eflin is doing an up-down bullpen basically to simulate the rest between innings?
Wow. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
so,
I don't know.
Quick on the Phillies. And we have two open lines. You can grab it at 610-632-0975. I wanted to do this in the opening segment, but, you know, obviously the Sixers, major talking point. But the Phillies are a major talking point right now, too, because we're in the middle of free agency, right? The new league year, part two, opens up after the 99-day lockout, and the Phillies have been relatively quiet. I don't mind the Brad Hand signing. I don't. He could be cooked. He could be. He had a good second half of the season last year. He could be cooked. We'll see. But I go, all right, 1 year deal. Let me see what you got. Lefty specialist to go with Jose Alvarado. I trust him to throw strikes. The only worry is, okay, is he going to get raked like we saw with Ian Kennedy last year? Like, is he the left-handed Ian Kennedy?
I mean, it's possible. 11 years in the league, and he looked like he had a bit of a fall off.
So I'm worried about that, but I go, okay, good signing. You know, bring him in. He's not going to be a 60-game reliever for you, I don't think, right? Because you're going to have Alvarado. He's going to probably be your main go-to lefty out of the bullpen, even though that's terrifying. You're going to have a lot of righties. And, you know, Sir Anthony Dominguez, I just saw him pitching a bullpen. Maybe he'll be back this year. We'll see. Brad Hand, I'm okay with signing. You got Evel Knievel that you did before the lockout. He's probably going to be your closer. Okay. So now you're adding the other arm in Familia. Which, why would you add another gas can when you already have Jose Alvarado can't throw a strike sometimes. Familia can't throw a strike sometimes. A potential cooked reliever in Brad Hand. Like, that's not smart spending. That's not. Now, don't give me the Phillies are cheap, because they're not. They're going to have a top five payroll in the league. They will. The problem that I have is, what are you doing with Odubel Herrera? And we talked about this at length yesterday. This is your first day back. Your thoughts on Odubel Herrera coming back. And again, I'm going to say strictly talking baseball because people know my opinion. I don't think he's, you know, I think he's a terrible human being for what he did, literally putting, you know, bruises on his girlfriend's neck. Like, you're awful. Strictly baseball, you suck. And you're going to platoon. And I know what's going to happen, Connor. He's going to be hot in April.
Yep.
Just like he is every single year.
Absolutely.
He's going to be hot in April. Mark this down. He's going to be hot in April. We will be clamoring for him. Well, not me, but people will be clamoring for him to be the everyday starting center fielder. He will get more opportunities in May where he'll hit about 220 and he'll do stupid stuff and we'll start freaking out. June, he's going to hit below 200 for the month. July, I think he hits 220 again, but he's going to have, I literally thought this all through. He's going to have like a big home run in July. And people will forget the fact that he's hitting 220 for the month. They'll forget that he hit 190 in the month of June. But because he hit a big home run later in the season, see? Hey, it was a smart signing. And then he'll get DFA'd in August because he'll be terrible. That's how, I'm telling you right now, that's how it's going to work out. He will not make the, if they make the playoffs, he won't be on the playoff roster.
Yeah, I don't know if he makes it to August because I think the only reason he's back on this team at all is because of the price point they could get him at.
Yeah.
and they're not sure with the frenzy that free agency is, mm-hmm. what the other guys available are going to be. Like, I think it's a very tough year to gauge who's going to be available where, and with so many irons in the fire at one time, it's tough to have a guy that's like, okay, we've talked to this guy for 3 weeks. He's talked to a bunch of other teams. We're very confident he's coming here.
Yes.
So it's like, we've had this guy in house. Let's just throw the lowest number we can at him, bring him back. And if we get someone bigger, okay. If he fails, send him down. And I guess what, Matt Vierling is your everyday center fielder if he gets DFA'd?
No, you make a trade if you're in playoff contention.
Yeah, and you, well, we like, wanted him to do that last year and they refused to.
Like, I'm sorry. How come you didn't make the trade the Mariners made yesterday? Now, I get it, your prospects stink, but how come you didn't make the trade that the Mariners made yesterday? Cincinnati Reds starting, he's now a starting center fielder.
Like, former All-Star, yeah.
What are you doing here?
I can't imagine that they're okay with it. I don't understand. Like, that would be outside the realm of realism that exists around baseball.
They've been looking for a center fielder for 4 years now.
Right.
When he first started having his issues on the field.
Which is why I refuse to believe that this is their answer. I think this is their safety plan, and it just happened to come first chronologically because of how free agency is this year. This is me trying to rationalize it. It's very possible that this is what they are comfortable with, and that's crazy. But it can't be if they're trying to win games.
Well, I'm going to say this right now. The Blue Jays are in on Schwarber. I said yesterday I'm kind of out on Schwarber. Like, I don't really want him here. Blue Jays are in on Schwarber. Rockies making a strong push for Chris Bryant. So if you don't get those two, Schwarber to me was a last-ditch effort to get him. You don't get those two, and if you don't get Nick Castellanos, I don't even know who your left fielder is. Are you going to do Vierling and Odubel? Now they're going to be everyday starting outfielders?
Ricky Modiak, baby. Come on down.
John Middleton. Well, Dave Dombrowski on Sunday said that he's not strapped by the luxury tax. A report comes out from The Athletic yesterday from Matt Gelb that Dave Dombrowski wasn't, you know, told not to go into the luxury tax. So just be honest with us, number one. Number two, I'm not calling you cheap, but you got to be smart with your money. Familia was not a smart signing. It was not. Unless he has this incredible bounce back season, it was not a smart signing. You better get Castellanos because the Nationals are trying things. They bring in Nelson Cruz. The Mets are, they have the best rotation in baseball and are still acquiring players. The Braves are going to lose Freddie Freeman, but they're still going to be a good team. Phillies, I'll say one more thing. If the Mariners, who made a very good trade yesterday, make the playoffs, and if the Phillies don't, your fighting Phils will have the longest active playoff drought in Major League Baseball. Major market. That's embarrassing. Get to work. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cubs. We got morning thoughts coming up at 11:10. And I found something in the process of moving, so we'll get into that. And also, as a collective society, we need to take a deep breath because I had a scary moment yesterday. Scary moment. I'll tell the story of. And if that guy's listening, I want you to call in because I think we need to all just breathe together. All right? Take a shot on college hoops this March with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with the Valley Forge. Whether you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, all customers get a risk-free bet on the bracket. Sign into the FanDuel Sportsbook app to claim yours today. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code FANATIC that you can bet on that underdog you've had your eye on, or you can just go with the favorite. Either way, it's risk-free. Of course, look at our home team in Villanova. They should win their first-round matchup easily, being the 2 seed taking on Delaware. So go with Nova. Go with the Cats in the first round. I like Arkansas as well to make a little bit of a run. And with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. There's no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. So join now with promo code FANATIC. Sign into the FanDuel Sportsbook app to claim your risk-free bet. You must be 21 plus and present in PA. Refund issues, non-drawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $5. Offers non-transferable. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchudas, filling in for the Cuz. Anthony out a little under the weather today. Hopefully he will be back tomorrow. As I said early in the show, it's not because the Sixers lost yesterday. He's not feeling the blues, but he will be back tomorrow. By the way, I want to give a quick yo, Connor. And my bad, because I didn't give you the heads up, but I know you have it on the board there.
Because so we got a yo.
Yo.
Quick yo. And I want to apologize to Bill McElroy of Bill McElroy Auto Body. Now, if you guys remember, during the pandemic, that's when we started the yos. We wanted to give shout-outs to local businesses all throughout the area, not just, you know, restaurants, because a lot of people, obviously, restaurants are really affected, but all kinds of local businesses. And it then got to a point where I started reaching out to these businesses, like, hey, why don't you send us, like, a T-shirt or something, and we'll rock it on the YouTube for our great YouTube viewers to see us wearing it, and you know, it's kind of a free plug for the, you know, for the business and all that kind of stuff. And Bill sent me this T-shirt, long sleeve T-shirt, a long time ago. Now I'm in the process of moving, so I'm finding things, and that's going to be one of my morning thoughts later on in a couple of minutes. But I'm finding things constantly that I forgot that I had, and this was one of these shirts. So Bill McElroy of Bill McElroy Auto Body, I want to give a yo to you. You guys are in Bensalem. And I know that this is one of the first T-shirts that came in, and my bad, I just completely forgot that I had it. I found it in the closet today when I was doing some cleaning this morning before I came into work. So yo to Bill McElroy Auto Body in Bensalem. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk to Will in Brookhaven. Will, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey guys, what's going on, Trinity?
What's up, Will?
Yeah, I got to disagree with that last caller. I mean, he sounded like he already given up on the Sixers. I mean, I'm not panicking. I'm
he may stop. He may stop watching. He seems.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I mean, come on, man. He don't need to be a fan. Then I mean, it's just like, and he's saying the fourth best team. That's not true. Like, at worst, we're just third or second. I still believe we're gonna get that second seed. I still believe we're going.
Well, they will. Now, I will say this, yeah. Based off, I'm not gonna go just based off seeding. Like, I do think the Brooklyn Nets healthy are a better team than the Sixers, right? When Kevin Durant's hurt, Kyrie Irving's got, you know, he's not allowed to play at home games and that kind of stuff. I do think that they are a deeper, better team than the Sixers. I'm not afraid to admit it. And now I think that the Sixers can compete with them. I think that game Thursday night last week where they get blown out by 30, I think that was just a tough night. But I do think, like, they're probably number one. And, of course, Milwaukee, you have to consider, they are the defending champs. But I do like the Sixers' chances in those series. Like, I don't think it's they get swept.
No. It's just, remember, before the trade, we beat Milwaukee. So, I mean, I'm concerned about the transition because they look bad up and down the floor on defense. Like, they didn't run with Denver. And I'm like, man, what's going on? So,
right, and that's obviously something that they have to really talk about. Now, the problem is that's been pointed out. It was pointed out by Kevin Durant himself Thursday night.
Yeah.
Then the Magic did it, and Doc Rivers talked about it. But because they won, it was probably all, you know, roses. Everybody's happy. First game of a back-to-back. And then last night, because it bit you in the ass because you had a 19-point lead that disappeared because of your transition defense, then it was different. Post-game, Doc Rivers saying it. James Harden saying we got to get our asses back on defense. Well, then do it. If you're saying it, do it.
Yeah. Do it, yeah, because one, you can tell they weren't communicating.
Yes,
on defense and barely on offense. Is like what's Niang doing when James Harden and Maxey were open? Like, don't take the. He missed the shot. He got the rebound. He should have passed it back out.
Yeah, that must have been a heat of the moment thing, man. Because I'm fine with the shot. Right, like I'm fine with the 3-point shot, but you're down three. You can't take a floater with 3 seconds left. That's just bad awareness at the time.
Yeah, I mean, our bench is a little weak right now, and I want to make a second point about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm excited about March Madness. And what I used to do during the process years, I used to, like, follow the tournament and look for players that would help Joel Embiid at that time. Now I'm looking at players in this upcoming March Madness for like bench players now, because that's what we want to need.
Yeah, no, but you're not going to – I don't think you're going to draft bench players, Will, and I appreciate the call. You're going to go veterans. I mean, because of this – because of the how deep this team is in terms of the starting lineup, right? You have Harden, you have Embiid, you have Maxey, and even though Harris could be on the move, whether he's on the move or if he's still on this team, it's going to be easier to move him after this season because he'll only have 2 years left on his deal as opposed to what was three before the season started. But this team needs veterans. It needs veteran presence. And, like, George Niang, I think, is a good piece, and he's still under contract next year, which is awesome. The problem is Danny Green's still under contract next year. Furkan Korkmaz is under contract for two more years after this season, which is just a mess. You're going to have to move some pieces around. You're going to have to bring in players. So, you know, the Sixers, it was great finding Tyrese Maxey 21st overall. You're not going to find a player 21st overall if that's the pick that you end up having that's going to give you a punch off the bench. I really don't. Like, you kind of got lucky with Tyrese Maxey.
Very.
Because there was no tournament and he doesn't get the ball out in big moments, he falls to 21.
Right.
You got lucky.
And you won't get lucky this year because you can watch the tournament all you want. It's not going to change the fact the Sixers don't have a first round selection in 2022.
Yeah, that's true too. It's a good point. Kind of hard to make a first round pick when you don't even have a pick in the first round.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Let's go back to the phones. Rob on the cell. Rob, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, just wanted to make I guess a quick point, a quick question. You guys let me know if I'm up or not. I mean, I don't know if you've seen, like, so I guess it seems almost after Joel Embiid knocked Kevin Durant down, Kevin Durant gets back up, right? And, like, it seems like his barking almost took, like, the confidence out of, like, our entire team, right? And we're trying to, like, build that a little bit. Does that seem like that to you guys?
No, I think Kevin Durant just being Kevin Durant is what took a little energy from the team. He didn't miss.
Yeah, and this is like every other team starts jumping, right? So like now, like we got the Magic jumping at us. DeMarcus Cousins is barking a little bit last night, and I'm like, is this kind of like blood in the water? But then also too, like the second point was, you know, I know we talk about spark off the bench, you know, and the previous caller was talking about like process guys, like. Mm-hmm. At what point do we use Furkan Korkmaz? Like, I mean, I feel like we groomed this guy for years.
Furkan who?
Furkan.
Yeah, who? Korkmaz?
Who?
Korkmaz.
Korkmaz, I'm sorry.
No, you don't even know his last name, so no, you're not going to play him at this point. I mean, dude, here's the thing. He's shooting below 30% for the season, right? This isn't a cold streak. He's had a rough couple of games. He's shooting below 30%. This is Robert Covington level, right? Robert Covington was this appointed 3-and-D player who couldn't shoot above 35% from three and couldn't play lockdown defense. So Furkan Korkmaz is supposed to be a three-point shooting specialist and can't even hit 30%.
I mean, he was giving us game-winning shots last year. He can't give us 6 points since last night.
All right, yeah, he could give you 6 points, but he's going to give up 12. He can't play defense. Korkmaz stinks, Rob. I appreciate the call, man. Korkmaz stinks. Now, here's the deal. Do I think he should be totally out of the rotation? No. I think you have to give him a shot. And if he hits two threes, all right, you keep him in the game. Shooters get hot. Not that he's really a shooter, but shooters get hot. If he's 0-3 and is getting cooked on defense, you do what you did the other night, where you pull him after 4 minutes. I think that's what you do with Korkmaz. I don't think he can just sit and rot on the bench, though.
No, like, he has enough experience. That's the thing. Like, some of these other guys that you have the option to run out there, when you talk about Doc Rivers, oh, we can go 11 deep.
Yes.
Or like Isaiah Joe and Paul Reed, who, yeah, they may have a little bit better of a resume this year when you look at their stat sheet, but the experience they have is minimal.
Yes.
Like, Korkmaz should not be playing in a playoff scenario, but...
No, but
know.
You give him that 2 minutes of run and see if he makes
his
first
shot. If he hits a three or two,
if he looks confident out there, you keep him out there, and that's it.
Right.
I don't think he can be completely sitting. Listen, have I enjoyed not seeing Korkmaz on the court? Yes, I have. Because remember, you heard me go off when I saw that highlight video. You and I were on the air together when the workout highlight video came out before the season started where he lit the freaking rim on fire. I go, dude, you're not good enough to do something like that.
It was kind of funny.
And I was out on Furkan Korkmaz before that, but the second that happened, he was dead to me. and I never wanted to see him wearing a Sixers uniform again. So I have taken great joy because I was told I was crazy about my hate for Furkan Korkmaz. But it's been nice not seeing him for the last three games. But I also needed to say he's got to get a little bit of run.
Yeah, because like no one else is good enough to keep him on the bench at this point. Yeah,
now George Niang, but when Niang clearly is cooked yesterday after playing 35, and Doc even said it during the post game press conference. He's like, "Yeah, man, George looks he was bad out there tonight."
So how about when he goes to take the last shot of the damn game? You call timeout.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's do some morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
All right, so the very first thing I was thinking about, well, a lot of times they're experiences for me, right? Not just thoughts. So I'm in the process of moving. And I've been doing a lot of back and forth. When I'm not here, I'm doing something. I'm not just sitting on the couch. I haven't had a beer in 14 days, by the way. Or no, 15.
Wow.
Today's 15 days.
Proud of you.
And that might break today.
I had like 15 beers a day over the weekend, so we're evening out.
It may break today. I may have one tonight. I'll keep you posted on that. But, you know, I'm doing a lot of moving, so I'm finding things. And I mentioned I found this T-shirt today for the McElroy Auto Body Shop, which was given to me by Bill himself for, you know, to give a yo to a while back, and I misplaced it, and I apologize. But I found something else that was fascinating to me. I forgot even had it. So when I first went to Lithuania, the first time I went, which was 2016, my mom gave me like a memories booklet that she printed out photos from the trip and all that kind of stuff. And because I was in between living at home and moving out to the Northeast, because it was right after college, I went to Lithuania right after college came to an end. It was 2012. I forget whenever I went to Lithuania. But I started putting stuff in it for the move. Because there's like the random things that you keep. The stupid random things that you keep. And they're not stupid because they're important to you. So I find the book this morning. And I'm looking through it. You know, there's the picture. There's a picture. There's a picture. And all of a sudden, there's a National League Championship Series ticket stub from 2008. And I'm like, what?
Oh, that's awesome.
I forgot I had this. There's the printout of the ticket for the World Series parade because I was inside Citizens Bank Park. I'm finding Sixers Heat tickets from the process days where I was going to the games for free, sitting behind the net, and the guy in front of me dropped a ticket that it said $200 on it. And I was there. Like, all these memories start popping up. So you've done a few moves. You've bounced around the city. Like, do you still have things that you can't really explain why you still have it? Like, I found yesterday, my dad and I went to a Harlem Globetrotters game. It was the 80th anniversary season of the Harlem Globetrotters. The 80th anniversary was 2006. I've had that basketball for 16 years. It's deflated.
That's wild.
It barely has any air in it. I never played with it because it was more of a commemorative thing than an actual ball you're going to shoot hoops with. But of course, I moved it over yesterday to the new house. I can't get rid of it. I've had it for 16 years.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Harlem Globetrotters thing since then.
Normally, I'm pretty good with that stuff because, like, the memorabilia or, like, the memory stuff stays at my mom's house in Jersey. So I have, like, the bare bones with me at my place. But the stuff that I do have, like, since I've been living out on my own, it's just stupid stuff that I should throw away that I just don't get
you
to.
You don't?
Like, when I clean, I have, like, a priority list. Like, I start with certain stuff. And it's always the same thing. So stuff at the bottom of the list, I never get to. I have a bag that's in my closet. In my room that definitely still has, like, old meeting printouts from when I worked in mortgages, years ago. Like, studying for a licensing test back in, like, 2016. It's like, I can just throw that out, but I'd never get
to
it.
Dude, I found, so I have a box, and I knew I still had the box. Now, my parents moved, right? So, like, I had to bring a lot of the stuff over. So, my parents moved down the shore. They're not, like, shore half the year, and then the house in Mullet Hill the other. No, they're moved. So, it was either you keeping it or we're throwing it away. So I have a box of stuffed animals that were my favorite as a kid that I always said I'm going to keep these and, you know, pass them down one day. And what do you know? I'm getting close to passing them down.
You're almost there. Yeah.
But in the box, because I was pulling out to see which one was which, I found the rally towel from the World Series game I went to. Because I wrote on the rally towel.
You wrote the date.
Phillies game 3, World Series, you know, here's the final score. And I'm like, dude, I forgot I had this. But it's literally the towel from that game. It's not like it's just a Phillies rally towel. And I go, oh, I think that's the one. No, I wrote in marker because I'm a loser. This is the rally towel from game 3 of the 2008 World Series.
That's awesome. You know, like, what I'll do sometimes?
Random stuff, man.
I'll find stuff that'll be like left over from sports days.
Okay.
Just like hidden away in like, I have a bunch of old gloves. That
oh,
are
dude,
in like a
I
box
found
somewhere.
A great picture of me in a, you know, one of the team moms or dads was like a part-time photographer and took a photo of every player in, like in action.
Yeah.
I found the photo. I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool picture.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff.
There's dust all over it, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
You know what's like? Kids,
I'm not going to hang up a picture of myself playing baseball 10 years ago.
Yeah, kids are going to get less of that, though. We might be the last generation of like significant finding old stuff while you're moving.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Because everything's digital. Like the tickets are digital. The pictures are all in like an online database.
The tickets being digital sucks.
It does.
Now, I would do the printout. So like the Phillies World Series parade ticket to be inside the building was not a stub. It was a
but
printout.
But it would be a stub now. It would be through some service. It would be a stuff.
Yeah, but I would print it out. I would print it. I wouldn't just do the Apple Watch.
I don't even own a printer.
Hell, dude, so I'll screenshot it, email it to myself, and somehow print it. I would do that. I'd rather do that so that I can have it somewhere.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm going convenience.
All right. One more thing, and I'll get to your thoughts coming up, but I apologize that we went on long. But I needed everybody that's listening right now, we need to do this. Connor, I'm making you do it too. Everybody, deep breath in the nose right now, right now. Out the mouth. The city's a mess right now. All right? Homicide rates are ridiculous. Every day there's something. It's going to get deep here. So yesterday, I'm making the drive to Jersey. And I'm in the middle lane of 676. And obviously, the middle and left lane are backed up because of the traffic from 95. So I go, all right, I'm going to get to the right lane. Because the right lane, then you can get to the bridge that way. So I look in my side view mirror. I have room. But the guy in the right lane sees me start it. Like, I'm literally already in the lane. He floors it to not let me change lane. Now, if you're on YouTube, I will show you exactly what I did. Connor, I'll try to explain to the radio listeners. All I did was one hand up.
What are you doing?
No like, bird, no mouthing bleep you, nothing. Like, it was more so like a, really, dude? Like, I just threw my hands up in the air. He stopped the car in the middle of 676 and got out.
Oh, you had one of those.
So if you're the guy who did it, New Jersey license plate, Subaru, you're wearing a vest over your shirt. And I don't know what he was saying because I had my radio on. You know, I was listening to the Mike Missanelli show. So I couldn't hear. But he looked pissed. I'm just going to say this. We all need to take a deep breath because there's a lot of crap going on in this city, which is sad. I don't know if this guy threatened me. I have no idea. Whatever. But if you're upset enough about the world right now that you're going to do that, that's crazy. Now, what if I'm crazy?
Right.
What if I pull something out? Was it worth stopping in the middle of 676? Because we saw, there was the story that Grubhub driver was, he had to block the road because he had to deliver the food and somebody's honking, so the Grubhub driver shot the guy. Like, that's what we're dealing with right now in this city. So, I hope everything's all right with you, man, if you're listening. I hope everything's good. Because I don't understand what could have set you off. Not even a middle finger. Now, I'm fortunate that in my younger days, I probably would have gotten out too.
Dude, can't be doing that.
So all I did. So after, I just raised the hands of, yo, dude, which then was enough to trigger this guy to stop in the middle of 676. Major road in the city that already has all kinds of issues. He gets out of the car. And so all I did was, it's all good, man. Like, it's all good. I didn't go hands up. All I did was see, dude, it's not that deep. And so he sped off. I didn't even follow him. I got off on the 8th Street. And I was just like, let me do a loop around. Because I drive fast. So I probably would have passed him on the highway, which he then probably would have thought was a threat.
Some type of challenge or something. Yeah.
So I just pulled off on an 8th Street, looped around, got back on a 676. But as a society, we need to take a deep breath. Because that can't happen.
No, just calm down.
Just, I get road rage, I have it too. But yo, me going, hey, come on, man, was enough for you to get out of your car. Come on now. All right, that's Morning Thoughts. 610-632-0975. We will continue all these Sixers and Phillies conversation. And again, everybody, just take a deep breath. We're getting out of COVID, which is great. Things are looking up. Life is tough for everybody, but it shouldn't lead to that. I'm Andrew Salchunas. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11 o'clock. 11:30. 11 o'clock. Damn. 97.5 The Fanatic. That means the show is going quickly, Connor.
Yeah.
That's all that it matters. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Coming up at 11:40, we'll be joined by Tom Moore to talk about the Sixers. Obviously, that's been the main topic of conversation today. We've been talking Phillies as well because, for crying out loud, they need to do something. I'm getting kind of tired of the waiting for the market to be set. Like, be aggressive. Now, again, the Phillies spend money. They do. They're not cheap. I think the center field option is cheap of Odubel and Matt Vierling, unless you're using that to sign Nick Castellanos to a major deal. But if you don't get Castellanos, Bryant, or Schwarber, well, you're not competing this year. And we're going to have major issues on our hands if that's the case. Major issues. But Sixers, obviously, main topic of conversation is they had a disappointing last night to the Denver Nuggets. 19-point lead, coaching issues, bench concerns, all kinds of stuff. So we'll talk to Tom Moore at 11:40, but we'll get to some calls at 610-632-0975. Let's talk to Jim from Trenton. Jim, you're on The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Tunis?
Yo, Jim.
Hey, I've got a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. So this morning I was listening to ESPN radio, and they had this crazy stat that Julius Randle, he's one of three players currently averaging 20, 10, and 5.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, I know I'm not jumping the gun or anything, but all season.
No. I don't want Julius. I don't want Julius Randle. No.
He's not better than Tobias.
Listen, I don't know. Maybe he's a more aggressive scorer. I'll just say this. Right. Don't let stats fool you, because whenever somebody gives me a stat like that, I'm going to fire one off with you, okay? So this was a stat from an Indiana Pacers television broadcast that came out probably 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Players with 800 games to average 13.5 points, 5.9 rebounds, 1.4 steals, 49% field goal percentage, 30% from three. The names, Magic Johnson, okay.
Right.
Larry Bird, okay.
Right.
Michael Jordan, good. LeBron James, good. Thaddeus Young. So, yes, you're right. Julius Randle is probably one of three doing that. But Thaddeus Young was one of five with those stats, and the other four were Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James. So I wouldn't get too fooled, okay?
So I guess my reason for that was because, the Andrew Bogut bombs that they're looking to acquire from Washington, Bradley Beal. But wouldn't that, like, hurt the salary cap in trying to get good role players, though?
Because, well, you wouldn't be getting good role players then. You would have your three-star. You would have what you have now, but an improvement from Tobias Harris to Bradley Beal, because Bradley Beal can score from all over the court. Even though Tobias Harris has shown a little bit of life with his three-point shot in recent games, Bradley Beal's lethal. So it would be what you have now, just with Beal instead of Harris.
And you think that's enough to take us over to him?
I don't know. I think you'll be better. Like, Stars win this league, right? We always talk about that. Stars win this league, and that's a big three. Obviously, next year during the offseason, Daryl Morey would have more time to get some of these veteran low contract guys. I mean, look at the Lakers, right? It seems like they have endless money to spend. They don't, but they have 1,000 veterans on that team. Now it's just not working out. And Jim, I appreciate the call, man. It's just not working out for the Lakers at all. But you'll be able to do that with a full offseason. The problem, the biggest problem, is the contracts that you already have. Danny Green's already here. Furkan Korkmaz is already here, and he's shooting below 30%. Let me remind you, from three. George Niang, you're fine with coming off the bench. But there's a lot of guys that you're not really thrilled with coming off the bench that will be here next year if they don't like get released, or you know, they trade them or they eat their money.
Right.
Danny Green's got 1 year left.
Short of moving Tobias Harris and clearing all that money, there's really no other way to significantly change around what this roster is going to be.
Right. Yeah. And as Dan Baxter tweets in, by the way, Julius Randle's three-point percent has dropped by 15% from last year to this year.
Oh, the Furkan Korkmaz line.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm no Julius Randle. Listen, I think it was a cool story that the Knicks were kind of relevant last year. I never thought that they would be good this year.
Yeah, they had their once a decade, hey, we might be all right moment.
Yeah, they had had the bing bong one win start the season.
It was fun. I still say bing bong like constantly.
That's the best thing that has come from that team is bing bong and the big dude in the video that like shook his entire body.
Like he's getting electrocuted.
Like that's the best thing that has come from the New York Knicks this season has been those two reactions.
There was like an edit to that video where they made it look like he was actually like in shock. And it was incredible.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, no, the New York Knicks stink. Let's go to T-Love and Delco. T-Love, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How are you?
Listen, I purposely skipped the Orlando game because I needed a break, you know,
okay,
from that Brooklyn debacle. Now, I watched the game last night, and I see, okay, I don't see how you can win with so many scrubs on this team. This bench is just killing us, man. It's not just the defense. This team goes for incredible amounts of time without scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just break and then you have nobody. You have between the coaching, him not being able to find a mix. And maybe it's not just the coach. Maybe these guys are scrubs and they just don't have the personnel. I mean, man, flip a coin. But it's just impossible when you match these guys up against Brooklyn, up against Miami, up against the Boston Celtics, up against the Milwaukee Bucks, and you look at the benches of these teams, it really, to me, man, is
yeah, I mean, Brooklyn freaked me out the other night, the Thursday night game, when they're throwing, Ben's not playing and Seth Curry needs a breather. Well, here's Goran Dragic, here's Patty Mills. You know, they're throwing all kinds of guys at you that are going to be effective off the bench for them, which is a cause for concern. Now, again, I said from the beginning, and shame on me, I thought Danny Green was going to have a little bit more in the tank when he's only playing 15 to 20 minutes off the bench, and he's not showing you that. So you're right. It could be a depth issue, and when they don't have their starting five out there, when they have their starting five out there, they're pretty effective. But when they don't have their starting five out there, when they have their two guys out there, and if the other three aren't really scoring threats, like you just said, you know, if you're the opposing team, you can really focus on James Harden and, you know, Tyrese Maxey. And then you go, all right, if the other three can kill us, to go for it, but they might not.
I mean, do you have five or even four sixes that's going to guarantee to give you 15 and five a game?
Yes, your four of your starting five. I mean, Tobias, he only had 10 yesterday, but he's a guy that can give you 15. I appreciate the call. Those are your four. And what I said from the very beginning, I'll get to this later on, but I did kind of do the math. If you get your 25 from Embiid, 25 from Harden, 25 from Maxey, you know, at least 75 from those three players, you'll get your 100 from, you know, your other 25 from a Tobias and Thibel combined, or if it's Maxey's night where he doesn't score as much and Thibel combined, then the bench needs to give you 20. And last night, the bench gave you 14. But let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline. Oh, man, it was ugly yesterday. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. You make sure you follow this man, at Tom Moore Philly on Twitter. He covers all kinds of stuff, not just the Sixers, Phillies as well, for the Bucks County Courier Times. Let's go to him, Tom Moore. Tom, how are you this morning?
All right, Andrew, how are you making out?
Well, I mean, I've been better. I was great when the Sixers were 5-0 with James Harden on the court. Forget the Miami Heat game where he didn't play. They were 5-0, and now the last three games, you're 1-2, and you didn't really feel too great against the Orlando Magic. So what are you making of last night's loss? Because for a lot of people, you know, they're sounding the alarms.
It kind of reminded me of some of those games, really, in the past, like, three postseasons, when Embiid goes to the bench and, you know, Brett Brown or Doc Rivers would call on, you know, Amir Johnson or Greg Monroe,
right,
or, you know, last year it was Dwight Howard, and they just couldn't hold the fort. And then what you do is you have to bring Embiid back early, which they did. He played the whole fourth quarter, whereas Jokic didn't come back till more than halfway through the fourth quarter, so he was a lot fresher.
Yep.
You know, and it kind of seemed that way. And also the concerns about the bench. I mean, I know Niang had no legs, but, like, people say he shouldn't have been on the court, but who do you want on the court at the end of the game? Danny Green, first game back, he didn't have it. You know, Korkmaz is out of rotation. He can't make a shot. Shake Milton has really struggled. That's the problem. You know, you need five guys out there. You need a fifth guy, and Thibault isn't really a threat on the offensive end. He's a pretty good defender. So, like, what are you going to do? His closing lineup is typically Niang is out there, because at least they have to respect him at the 3-point line. But it just reminded me of some sort of past losses with past issues that this team has had in recent years. Is kind of what I took away from it, and kind of scratching your head thinking, you know, it looks like they may have some of the same problems they've had in recent postseasons.
Now, Tom, let me ask you, if you've ever listened to me, I am not a Korkmaz fan at all, right? Like, I thought it was embarrassing when he had a highlight video of himself with a Rocky IV montage, training montage, lighting the rim on fire. I'm not the biggest Korkmaz fan, so I'm not, like, all that upset that he's not getting many minutes. But for him to only be in one game out of the last four, and that was the blowout loss to the Brooklyn Nets where he got some garbage time minutes, are you shocked that he's completely out of the rotation? To me, he's a guy that you at least put out there, and if he gives you nothing in 3 to 4 minutes, all right, you pull him, but you let him take a few shots, and if he seems on, then you got to play him, right?
Well, I mean, Rivers gave him a long leash, and fans were calling for him to go out of the rotation, you know, a month ago, if not more. And the problem with him, Andrew, is he's a below-average defender. So if he doesn't take shots, he gives you nothing. I'd rather see, if you're going to give somebody take a look, I'd rather see Isaiah Joe. I know he's very thin, but he's a better defender. And to be fair, Isaiah Joe and Korkmaz are both willing to shoot. They aren't going to pass up shots, which is what you need. But I would be fine with Isaiah Joe getting, getting a look. He's been a little inconsistent, but he hasn't gotten regular minutes, because you need something out of that bench. If you look at plus minuses last night, the Denver bench, every Denver reserve was plus 10 or more, and every Sixer reserve was minus. And the Sixers bench shot 4 for 24. So they just didn't have it, and it wasn't one. It was every
right.
Nobody off the bench, you know, did anything, basically.
Now, last night, James Harden, I get it, all the talk in the world was Embiid versus Jokic because of the potential MVP battle for those two guys. Jokic the winner last year, he could, you know, be back-to-back winner this year. Embiid, obviously, a front runner for it. But James Harden yesterday, just 11 field goal attempts, 24 points. I can't believe I said this morning. I need James Harden to be more aggressive. What do you make of that? I know yesterday he only had 2 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter alone.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. And I mean, the game in Orlando the other night, he had a completely uncontested three, waited, and then passed the ball. And I don't know if he's trying, early in games, he seems to really try to get his teammates involved, which is admirable. But I mean, he's been around long enough to know, and looking at that roster, you know, Tobias Harris is generally not a fourth quarter guy. He doesn't play his best basketball in the fourth quarter. And Thibault is not typically a fourth quarter guy offensively.
Mm-hmm.
So you got three guys that have to carry the load with Maxey and Bede, you know, and Harden. So Rivers was saying last night that, you know, they weren't getting to their second options in plays. So that's why he didn't see the ball, but he had the ball in his hands a lot. So I don't really understand, because, you know, the reputation was being more selfish and looking for his own, even with the 10 assists a game. And that has not been the case here. And I think he, like Tobias Harris, really both need to be more selfish and look for their own shots, because this team really needs those guys to score.
Speaking of Tom Moore in the Comcast Biz Hotline, follow Tom on Twitter, at Tom Moore Philly. So we obviously talked about the depth being an issue, only 14 points from your bench yesterday. Other than the depth, what's one of the biggest things? Because you can't fix the depth at this point. Unless somebody steps up, you can't fix the depth. You're past the buyout for playoffs, trade deadline's over. All that's done. So what's the big thing that the Sixers really need to face or fix? Obviously, transition defense has been a problem the last couple of games. Is that number one on Doc Rivers' list, or has it come down to rotations?
Yeah, it's kind of both. I asked him before the game about the possibility of making, you know, I said, is it more likely that you go with an eight-man rotation based on the last few weeks, with essentially, you know, meaning that nobody has played well off the bench, so you need a backup big guy, you need Niang, and then you need probably Danny Green at this point would probably be, you know, the eighth guy. And he said, basically, I don't determine rotations. The players determine rotations. So he doesn't say, I'm only going to play eight. I'm only going to play nine. He'll play as many as he thinks can help them and that merit it. Now, the way it's going, it's looking like it could be, you know, an eight-man rotation. But, you know, in terms of the transition, not only are they not getting back, when they're not getting out, I think last night the transition points were, fast break points were 28-8. That's when Maxey and Thibault are at their best, is in transition. So when you get in the half-court offense, they're not as effective. They're not getting easy buckets. And that was an issue against the Nets, and that was an issue especially early in the first half against the Magic. So teams know this, and they push the ball, and they get easy layups and dunks. And when you're minus 20 in fast break points, you know, that's a lot to overcome in the half court offense.
Last one for you, Tom, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning. Listen, you've been covering the Sixers for a long time, covering sports for a long time, covering sports in Philly for a long time. So you know how reactionary of a fan base we can be. So the Sixers are 5-0 with James Harden on the court prior to the first loss against the Brooklyn Nets. And we're all sky high. They're never going to lose again. They're going to go to the NBA Finals, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, the last three nights have brought everybody down. How much do you personally take into a regular season game? Because you do have some good tests still to close out the season. You got the Cavs tomorrow, playoff team. You have the Heat later on this month in 6 days. The Bucks you play again at the end of the month. So there are some big tests. And then, of course, you got some clunkers in between, like the Lakers, the Pacers a couple of times, the Pistons to close out the season. But games like last night, games like last Thursday against the Brooklyn Nets, how much do you make of those for how you think the Sixers could play come playoff time?
Yeah, I mean, they really haven't had a lot of close games, you know, with Harden. Most of their wins have been double digits. So you want to see how they respond against good, you know, I think the Nuggets are sixth in the West, but a very good team. As you said, the Heat and the Bucks, and, you know, you want to see, you know, what they do late in games. Who has the ball in his hands? You run the offense through Embiid, or you'd run a lot of two-man games with Embiid and Harden. Yeah, I think it's very important because, you know, maybe not in the first round as much, but if they're fortunate enough to get out of the first round and get in the second round, there's going to be tight games. And, you know, the Atlanta series last year, the Sixers lost almost all the close games.
Right.
You can't do that. You need to find ways to win. You need to, you know, get stops defensively, and you need to be effective, you know, in your half-court offense, which is what it becomes more of. So that's why, you know, the half-court offense kind of stagnates and lack of movement, you know, and things like that are, you know, you can't, it's difficult to overcome those, you know, when you get to a big best of seven series where, you know, let's be honest, when you have to beat a team 4 out of 7, almost always, unless there's a significant injury, the best team wins, because 4 out of 7, everybody knows the plays, everybody knows what the other team's going to do. It's just how effective are you in doing it?
Well, I'm not going to be sleeping too well at night tonight, Tom. I'll tell you that. Listen, man, I appreciate you taking the time. Follow him on Twitter, at Tom Moore Philly. Read his stuff, Bucks County Courier Times. Tom, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate you coming on. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
There he is, Tom Moore, Comcast Business Hotline. Connor, make you feel any better?
Oh, yeah, I feel great now.
Yeah, I feel fantastic. Yeah, I mean, they got some tests still to close out the season. That wasn't the last, you know, big test of the year last night, so we'll see how they can make some changes. They all had their statements to make last night after the loss, including James Harden saying, we got to get our ass back on defense. So We'll see if they can do that. Will they make some of these adjustments that they talk about? But I have to see them do it actually in the game. 12 o'clock hour coming up next. We will open up some football talk as the Eagles made a signing yesterday that excites me, as you know, as a Temple man, I'm a little biased about it. But Anthony said something yesterday that triggered a lot of fans, triggered a lot of people. So we'll get into that coming up. Also, an update on the Chris Bryant sweepstakes. It's not looking good if you wanted Chris Bryant. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. Now, let me tell you about CSL Plasma. I absolutely love this place, right? You can make up to $825 this month when you donate plasma at any of CSL Plasma's tri-state area donation centers. And listen, I got a baby on the way. I need some extra money in my pocket. If you need some extra money in your pocket, that's where you can go. CSL Plasma, up to $825, and you're doing a good deed while you're doing it, because plasma donations help create therapies to treat patients with rare and serious diseases. The donation process, it's a lot like donating blood, and you get a nice chunk of change in your pocket as a thank you for your time. You don't need an appointment. You can go in and donate. Walk-ins are welcome at all tri-state area donation centers, including North Philly, West Philly, Northeast Philly, Hamilton, and Maple Shade, New Jersey, Newark, Delaware, and coming soon in the Aramingo area. I absolutely love CSL Plasma. I love Renee. Renee is a big reason why we had Knockout this season. They were the sponsor of Knockout. She's fantastic. And not only do they do great things with the plasma donations, but they also do great things around the community. I know they do Toys for Tot drives. They do backpack donations, you know, at the beginning of school year. So they do all kinds of great stuff. For more info, download the CSL Plasma app or visit CSLPlasma.com. Tell them Andrew sent you when you go. CSL Plasma, good for you, great for life.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz, who will hopefully be back tomorrow. Talking all kinds of stuff today. Sixers obviously reacting to the loss yesterday. And I want to hear from you at 610-632-0975, because yesterday was the first game where I felt worried. And, you know, I was trying to keep myself grounded. After the Nets game, it was awful, but I was able to kind of think about, all right, what could be the reason why? All right, what could be the reason why it was so bad today? And I thought, all right, all the emotions, the Ben Simmons thing, the Brooklyn Nets came out with more fire, all that kind of stuff. Now, the Nets are also a very, very good team. And I said it to a caller earlier, you know, talent top to bottom, the Brooklyn Nets are a better team than the Sixers. They are. You just can't forget that Kevin Durant's been hurt. Kyrie Irving's literally a part-time player. If we just did head-to-head series, I'd probably take the Brooklyn Nets, which is kind of terrifying that they could face them in the first round. And I would say, well, good thing is Sixers have the home court advantage, but the Brooklyn Nets just came into your building last Thursday and won, which is kind of terrifying. Now, if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, I don't care if it's the Nets. You lose in the first round of the playoffs, major changes happen. Doc's gone. You do whatever you can to get rid of Tobias Harris, because you know you're not going to be parting ways with Harden or Embiid. Like, that's not going to change. You try to move bench pieces. You eat money. I don't care. You do all kinds of stuff, because you can't lose in the first round after three straight second round exits.
Yes, absolutely.
Can't do that.
You can't trade for a top 75 player in the history of the game
and get bounced.
And go back, not just get bounced, go backwards.
Yeah, and it would suck because the matchup, it sucks how it worked out because of the Kyrie COVID stuff, but so be it. You lose in the first round. You lose in the first round.
Period. Well, right now they're the 3 seed because the Bucks jumped them. So do you try and hang in the 3 seed so you avoid that as a possibility?
You can't do that, though.
I don't know.
You can't.
I don't know.
No, because that's bad. Why is that bad? So what, when you play the Bucks later on this month, March 29th, you're going to tank?
No, not necessarily. But I'm saying, like, when you get down to the end, if there's a chance, and like if Brooklyn's in the play,
I hate doing that.
I do too, but when you look at it, I think it's a unique circumstance. Like, when have we seen a team that's had, like, the KD injury, whatever. Like, injuries happen, and sometimes guys come back. But when have we ever seen a team where a guy can only play road games, and, like, that team that may change, and they could get significantly better, and then they trade for this guy who is an enigma even when he plays in Ben Simmons? Like, it's a unique circumstance. I'm normally with you. Play whoever, and if you're that bad, there should be reasons why they're that bad. But this one, I'd be nervous.
Yeah, no, I would be too, but I just don't think, like, it's not good practice. It's not.
Ah, come on. What do you mean? If you have to like lose like two games down near the end of the year to get locked into a seed where you don't have to play a like stalwart team like that, and your other option is like Cleveland or if Chicago completely drops off, I'm doing that, no problem.
All right. That's doing it. That's doing a D with the devil, man.
Absolutely. Devil, come on over here. I'll sign.
That's karma train.
I'll sign, Mr. Devil.
That's bad karma train. But yeah, we're reacting to the Sixers' loss yesterday. And yesterday was the first night that I felt some worry watching that game because I get it. When Joel Embiid comes off the court, you're going to look bad regardless, right? Like, because he's the best player on the team. But then when James Harden is not aggressive when Embiid's off the court, then I go, yo, dude, come on, man. Like, you know, we always have to be honest with ourselves. I was critical of Tobias Harris when they played the Memphis Grizzlies, when Embiid and Seth Curry were out, and Tobias Harris took 12 field goal attempts. I was extremely angry that next morning and that night, obviously. Last night, Embiid's cooked. Like, he's not cooked. He puts up 30-plus points. It's a great night, but look, he's gassed. He pulls himself out of the game. Harden's got to step up.
Right.
He's very passive right now. You know, Tom said it. Maybe he's trying to get comfortable. I heard Bob and Jamie and John talk about it this morning. Same thing. Like, maybe he's just trying to overdo being that point guard to try to get rid of those, you know, get oh, he's a selfish basketball player, you know, to get that narrative out. Well, sometimes I want you to be selfish, dude. Like, you're one of the best scorers of all time. Be selfish.
Yeah, and you also got to recognize, like, dude, this ain't Brooklyn. Like, Joel Embiid's incredible. But you don't have Kyrie and KD. You cannot rely on some other guys around you as much as, not that he's played on incredible teams in the past, mm-hmm. because he hasn't won anything yet either, but you got to recognize some of the guys you're playing with. Maxie was incredible at the start, but he's 21.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris is what he is. Matisse Thybulle is nothing offensively.
No.
And the bench is, like, some nights they might give you 14 points total.
How's it feel saying that? Because you are Matisse Thybulle's number one fan.
Right, absolutely. But I've never been like, oh, Matisse is offensively incredible. I think his biggest thing is he fills a role that no one else on the Sixers
I'm just proud of you for admitting that.
I don't think I've been unreasonable with Matisse. I'm just seeing a side of him that people don't value as much. Right. People like offense. I think defense is equally valuable when it comes to the playoffs.
All right. Rumor mill in baseball. We'll get to the calls in a second. John Heyman is tweeting that the Rockies are close to getting Chris Bryant. And it's just like, all right, it better be Castellanos. That's my reaction. Not, oh, damn, that sucks, because I did want Bryant over Castellanos. I did, because I like being able to move him all over the place. If Alec Bohm is a complete butcher at third base, you put him at third base full-time and you make the other stuff work, right? You can move Bohm to the outfield. That's been talked about in the past. But okay, looks like that's not going to be the thing. Looks like he's going to Colorado. Colorado's having a pretty damn good free agency, by the way. If you don't get Castellanos, we're in major trouble. I liked the Matt Chapman rumors the other day, but now there's other teams calling about Matt Chapman because the Oakland Athletics are trading everybody talented away, including Olsen, who, oh, we're losing Freddie Freeman? Let's bring in Olsen, who's going to hit 40 home runs for us.
Dude. I didn't understand real quick the Freddie Freeman, like, everyone excited, like, oh, Matt Olson's coming. That means Freddie Freeman's gone. Yeah, there was a scenario where Freddie Freeman could go, and they didn't bring in another, like, all-star talent.
They brought in a 40 home run hitter.
Yeah. No, a 40 home run hitter in Oakland.
Yeah. Yeah, you could go 50.
What is he when he plays a couple games on the road in the bank?
In Citizens Bank Park. Yeah, exactly. And so here's my problem, right? And we're going to have Jim Salisbury on today at 12:40. I can't wait. I love talking to Jim. I've been talking to Jim for a long time now about Phillies baseball. You know, the teams around you are doing things. I'm pissed off that the Mariners didn't make the, or the Phillies didn't make the trade that the Mariners made yesterday, bringing in a starting center fielder. They didn't have to give up much. They gave up prospects. And I get it. We're always afraid to give up our prospects. But let's think about the top prospects that have been traded. Sixto Sanchez is hurt and had arm issues before he got traded. When he's pitching and pitching well, it's, you know, he's deadly, right? But I still make that trade for JT because look what happened last year. He missed the entire season.
Yeah, he's still up to possibly win NL Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had enough Major League service time.
Kyle Drabek, bust. Lou Marson, bust. You know, all these guys, busts. Spencer Howard, we held on to not trade. He could only pitch three innings and needed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to go four. Okay?
I forgot about the
PBJ. Okay, yeah, he needed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Okay? So that's a guy you held on to who was a top prospect. So there was the potential trade for Matt Chapman, who's a stud third baseman in Oakland. And they didn't want to part ways with either Mick Abel, Andrew Painter, or Bryson Stott.
You guys want Kingery? He's a good up-and-coming young kid.
He's making $6 million this year, by the way, to not play in the major leagues. So you don't make that trade. So now somebody else is probably going to get him. Okay? If you don't sign Castellanos, because it looks like Bryant and Schwarber are going elsewhere, then what? You're in trouble. Because the Braves are making moves. The Nationals are making moves. The Mets have the best rotation in baseball. The freaking Miami Marlins made a phone call about Castellanos. So the Marlins are trying. They're trying. I'm not saying the Phillies are cheap. I'm not saying they're not trying. I just think they're being dumb. $6 million for Familia? They're not being smart with their money.
No, and like, sure, the bullpen's a point of need, and you need to go out and get a guy like Brad Hand to add the veteran presence, because there are a lot of young guys that are going to be a part of this bullpen that you need to step up if they're going to be better than average. But you cannot go into opening day in the NL East this year, as stacked as it is, with your outfield being Bryce Harper, Odubel Herrera, Mickey Moniak, or Matt Vierling, or however it's... No, that does not work. You do not win. You do not even compete.
Yeah. No, you fight for the Marlins for last place.
Yeah, the Nationals.
I don't know. Nelson Cruz is going to hit 50 home runs this year.
Doesn't matter. They still stink.
They should have signed him. I said that from the very beginning. As soon as the DH was designated here in the National League.
He's like 50 years old. He's got to fall off eventually, right?
He hits his age in home runs.
Yes.
He's going to hit, I think he's 41. He's going to hit 41 home runs
this year. It's just preposterous.
One more, and this not baseball. And I said we were going to open up some Eagles talk this segment. Per Evan Massey, the Eagles are one team that has shown interest in veteran free agent cornerback Xavier Rhodes. 5 years ago, sure. So he's going to be the replacement to Steven Nelson, probably the, you know, veteran professional other corner, other side of Darius Slay. So let me open this up real quick with the Eagles. Anthony said something. I want to read the quote because I tweeted it out on the Fanatic account and it got some pushback. Now, I like to tweet out the beginning of Anthony's show, at least a quote at the start of each show. And he said some things about the Eagles that bothered a lot of people. And here you go. Quote, I'm going to warn you again. I told you this last week. The Eagles are going to rebuild this thing brick by brick. I would not be surprised if they move some of their picks to next year. They are not going to be in the playoffs next year. And a lot of people were angry. They were a little adjusting the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Now, I didn't get that harsh, but I don't think Anthony's crazy. I've said this a few times. Hell, I said this on Tuesday after the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers in the playoffs that they are going to take a step back. They're not going to benefit from COVID. They benefited from COVID. They benefited from a lot of injuries happen in the NFL all the time. I get it. Garrett Gilbert, Jake Fromm, the neck, and Mike Glennon. They played the Lions. They played the Broncos, who weren't as good as a lot of people thought they were.
The Jets.
They had a very, very easy second half of the schedule. The Vikings thought it was smart to bring back Kirk Cousins, who fell apart. They should have made the playoffs last year. They did not. The Eagles made the playoffs. I was the one championing getting to the playoffs. You and I did shows together. I didn't care about draft pick, you know, how high your first round pick was. I wanted to get to the playoffs. That's it. 1 week's better to me. And the 16th overall pick compared to the 14th overall pick doesn't really bother me because I knew they weren't winning in the first round of the playoffs. Like, they were going to lose, and they did. But I said after that game that they're taking a step back because you saw when they play the cream of the crop, which was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice last year. But that second game, after as great as it was to close out the season with all those wins to make the playoffs, when they finally played a legit opponent, they looked outclassed. It's great that you can run the ball 40 times against, you know, the Lions and win. But the second you're down 7-0 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're starting to sweat. Especially when they move the ball downfield with ease because Jonathan Gannon's defense wasn't that great. I don't see why there was so much anger with Anthony yesterday. Because when I say step back, well, they were the second to last seed to make the playoffs. They're not winning the NFC East. I love Hassan Reddick. Is Hassan Reddick going to make this team win one or two more games? He's better than Derek Barnett. I love Hassan Reddick. Listen, man, like, Temple made Temple proud. But after that, I mean, talking about Xavier Rhodes here. We're talking about Jalen Hurts dropping back to pass again 25, 30 times in games where you're going to need to throw. Forget the ground game, which is a fact. You're still going to have an elite offensive line. You're still going to have Miles Sanders, unless they trade him. You're still going to have Jalen Hurts and his threat to run. But in games where he needs to make throws, we've seen that be an issue. So is it crazy that Anthony says they're not making the playoffs next year?
No, I don't think that that statement on its own is crazy. I think the thought process that this team is going to regress doesn't sit right with a lot of people because you look at them and the assets they have available this offseason, and you're like, well, they shouldn't. Even though they're still very much in the midst of a rebuild, with three first-round picks, you should not get worse, whatever you do with them. If you move them to next year, he's not going to trade all three of the first-round picks, right?
No, I don't think so either. I think at most it's one.
So you're adding a first-round selection to a largely young team. There are some veteran guys who are aging out, like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, who could continue to regress, Rodney McLeod, stuff like that if they bring him back and re-sign him. But when you look at a young roster that overachieved last year, even though regression is kind of natural, that's a tough thing as a fan to accept that it's possible they take a step back with the assets that they have. It's possible, which is why I'm saying it's not crazy, but I think as a fan base, the natural reaction is like, well, dude, they should get better.
They should, but then we forget, and we can't. I try to be as honest as possible with myself, because listen, I got crushed for the Chunas train thing last year, right? I'm all about having fun. I didn't guarantee them to make the playoffs. I just thought, listen, there is a path. They're playing the Diamondbacks 8 times next month. Oh, they went like,
that went well.
They went like 2-6 against them, right? Like, that should have happened! How'd you lose to the Diamondbacks that many games? The path was there. Just like the Eagles' path was there. But just because I was saying the Eagles will make the playoffs, and I made that statement with like 5 weeks left in the season that they're going to make the playoffs, it's not like I thought it's because they're a good team. It's because of who they were playing in front of them. We can't forget who they played in the final, you know, 6-7 weeks of the season that mattered. The final week of the season they played the Dallas Cowboys where they played you and me at cornerback, right? Like, you know.
Right, yeah.
That game didn't matter. But the final 5-6 games, I mean, it was, there wasn't really an impressive win because there wasn't an impressive team that they faced.
Wait, so when did Anthony say this? What day was this show?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay, cool. Because, I was on the plane, so didn't catch it. But if you had asked me this like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, because you're looking at Tom Brady still retired, Aaron Rodgers probably going outside of the conference.
Yes. Well, that's why I was all about trading for Russell Wilson.
Right.
Because I go, look at what just opened up. Moses just parted the Red Sea here. Bring in Russell Wilson. You do have an elite offensive line. You have Devontae Smith, who I think is going to be a star if he has a legit quarterback throwing to him, right? Miles Sanders is still going to be here. You bring in Juju Smith-Schuster to be a slot receiver. I saw a report that they're not interested in Smith-Schuster, so Jalen Reagor is going to be back next year. I'm telling you right now.
Can't wait.
He will be back next year, and he will be playing a lot of snaps at the slot position because it looks like they're not bringing anybody in. So I see all that. I go, all right, bring him on. Let's go. Rodgers stays. Brady's back. Deshaun Watson's going to come to the NFC.
Carson Wentz.
forget Carson. Dallas is still going to be good. The Eagles are now, what, at best? Oh, the Rams, the defending Super Bowl
champions. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Like, the only way the Eagles make the playoffs is a wild card, and there's going to be other teams that get better. I'm not here, like, trying to defend Anthony. I'm just saying from the very beginning, I thought that they were going to take a step back. I said this Tuesday, 2 days after they lost to the Bucs. Unless they made a trade for Russell Wilson. They didn't do that. They're going to hashtag run it back. And did they do enough last year for you to go, yeah, let's do this again?
Yeah, I get it. It's just there's no major loss that the Eagles are seeing. Because even though Brandon Brooks retires and he's a huge part of that team, he didn't play. So, like, you look at a team that didn't have a major subtraction, and it's natural to be like, well, how do you see them regressing? But if the road gets harder, that's the natural thing. That's why it's not crazy, but why I also kind of see why the gut reaction by people reading that is like, well, how?
Yeah, and SMPK14, Sean Keenan on Twitter tweets, and I think fans overreacted to the comments because everyone is down on the Sixers now. No one believes in the Phillies and the Flyers beyond stink. Fans need something to look forward to, and nothing is looking good right now. His comments are correct. Maybe he's right. It's the day after the Magic win, but like, yeah, you weren't feeling
what do you
good.
Mean? We got Claude Giroux's 1,000th game coming up.
Yeah, and then it'll get traded. 610-632-0975. So we'll continue the conversation on the Eagles, but also the Sixers, our reactions to last night's loss to the Nuggets. It's the first game that I feel worry, right? I feel worried about that. So Derek and Rich will get to you. Jim Salisbury's coming up at 1240, but I promise I'll get to the calls before Jim because I talk too much sometimes. 610-632-0975. I guess it's a good business to be in. If you talk too much.
Yeah, it's an important part
you
of the job.
You sound great today, by the way.
Thank you.
You're a fraud.
Oh, I'm not a fraud.
Connor's texting me yesterday. Connor's back from New Orleans. Man, I don't even have a voice. You sound like yourself.
I'm a day removed. I'm a quick recoverer.
You sound like yourself. My bachelor party, I told you this during one of the breaks. I had strep throat. This is pre-COVID. So pre-COVID, you're allowed to be sick, right? I had strep throat. I went balls to the wall for 2-3 days. I came back talking like this. And Anthony and Jason, I was producing them at the time, made me talk.
As they should.
I was doing updates. Come on, man. You sound fine. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz, who's actually sick. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. 12 o'clock hour brought to us by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. We got one open line right now. You can grab it at 610-632-0975. In 10 minutes, we'll be speaking to Jim Salisbury, who is live in Clearwater, Florida, which I'm very jealous of. I saw him. He posted the video of Sir Anthony on the bump today.
Nice. Did you take a look at how the mechanics are looking, what he was doing?
He looked good. I mean, dude, I will forever, forever blame Gabe Kapler for Sir Anthony Dominguez. Forever blame that man. And listen, good for him. He goes off and has an incredible season in San Francisco with Darren Ruff as his freaking leadoff hitter. Brandon Crawford's juicing. There's no doubt in my mind he's shooting something in him. The guy didn't hit for 5 years and he's hitting bombs every single night. Brandon Belt, like they're random guys are doing all kinds
he's
of things.
That coconut oil.
Yeah, maybe it may be. That's, it's like infused coconut oil with something.
It only works out on the West Coast where the sun's brighter.
Probably right. But Gabe Kapler ruined Sir Anthony Dominguez. They would be losing 10-0 while they were tanking. And he would have him pitch to 9 batters. And I go, dude, what are you doing? He'd pitch them all back-to-back-to-back days in games that didn't matter. It drove me insane, dude. Like, I had high expectations for Sir Anthony Dominguez. He's pumping 99. He's got a slider. Hey, you look good.
He had stuff. He's always had, well, he but hasn't he, always had stuff because he's been hurt.
He
now.
Overused them.
Right.
For no reason. So, it's good to see him back on the bump. I know the velocity dipped a little bit. I remember that being the reports last year. We'll see, man. It's another arm. It's an arm that's, they have professional arms in the bullpen that are better than what you've had in years past. But again, one of my big concerns is Brad Hand, another Ian Kennedy, where you bring in an aging reliever who's cooked. I like the signing right now, but I'm sure we're going to get a pretty good idea early on. Let's go to the phones, as I promised. Derek in Philly. Derek, you're on the Fanatic.
How you doing?
What's up, Dave?
What's
up, man?
I'm disappointed in the Sixers.
Okay.
And it's not because of, like, the players. It's the coaching, honestly. I can't watch the last play go to Niang. If you have Tobias Harris making $30 million a season, got James Harden, they all can't be getting double teamed. They have to take the shot at the end. It's impossible for you to give the ball to Niang. I don't want to ever see that again.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I'm disappointed in Doc Rivers. I'm fine with George Niang taking a shot late. But it was ugly from the jump, right? You have 14 seconds left when the Nuggets make the second free throw. You have 14 seconds left. Now, to me, Derek, you've been watching basketball your whole life. You're down 3 with 14 seconds left. You don't have to shoot the 3 to tie. You can quickly get down, make a layup. There's probably still 8 seconds left. You foul somebody real quick. There's 7 seconds left. Even if they hit 2 free throws, all right, you have another shot. You still had 1 timeout left, so you call the timeout, which puts you at half court. Now you have 7 seconds to design a play to hit the 3 to tie it. But they took their time going up the court, and then Joel Embiid goes for that high screen for Harden, and then James picks up his dribble, gives it to Embiid, and it was just ugly from the jump. If you're Doc Rivers, you got to go, this doesn't look good, timeout.
Yeah, that too. And then I just have to say this about, like, you have to look at who's hot and who's not tonight. Embiid is 3 for 3 from 3. I'm dying with my big man shooting a 3 at the end of the game. I'm sorry. He's shooting over the top of everybody. I need him to shoot it. I cannot watch Niang 2 for 9 at the time when he took the last shot shoot a jump shot. I just can't do it.
Yeah, or Harden, the guy that you brought in who can hit a 3, the third all-time most 3-point shots made in NBA history.
And you know what I'm thinking about him? He's becoming a nightmare for me. Personally, I'm not all doom and gloom. I feel like you still got things to work out. But it's just that I've seen that turnover late in game too many times with the Rockets. I'm sorry. I've just seen it too many times.
Well, it's not even that, dude. I don't understand why he only attempted 11 field goals yesterday. Like, that was a game. I get it. Embiid, Jokic, that was the storyline. But when Embiid is pulling himself out early in the first quarter, which he hasn't done all season long, you know the guy's winded. So it's up to you.
Are we going to see at least one 30-point game from Harden?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, I need to see it.
All right, no, I'm with you, Derek. I think right now, and I appreciate the call, dude, I think Derek Harden right now is still trying to get himself incorporated with his teammates. He wants to get that notion out that, you know, he's not a ball hog, all that kind of stuff, which may hurt him, may hurt the team. It hurt them last night. 11 field goals was not enough for James Harden. It was not enough. By the way, we got some NFL news. So 2 hours ago, Ian Rappaport tweeted that the Cowboys are expected to sign their own pass rusher, Randy Gregory, to a deal. An hour later, he put out another tweet. The Cowboys have done incredible work with Randy Gregory, and it's clear the connection between Jerry Jones and Gregory stood out. The interest was significant, but he stays and takes less. 1 hour later, which is now, Randy Gregory signing with the Denver Broncos. Apparently, there was an agreement, but there was language in the contract that Gregory did not like. And it looked like it was protecting the Cowboys. So he said, nah, I'm good.
Oh, he's Frank Gordon.
So Randy Gregory, at least he played for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Gregory was signed by the Cowboys, or expected to sign by the Cowboys, with the Cowboys, re-signed. And he's now heading to Denver. All right. Denver's going to be good.
Yeah, they are.
Denver's going to be good. You know, has anything happened with Von Miller?
Not that I've seen.
Because remember he put out that cryptic
tweet. Saying that he
might
want to come back.
And then like a day later, they make the trade for Russell Wilson. So he must have heard something. If I'm Von Miller, I'd do it.
Yeah, the only news so far out of the Rams I've seen today, Whitworth retired.
Yes.
But that, well, like, so that was going. He was like 80 years old.
If you trade him back to Denver, you try, because the Rams have like no draft picks, right? You right. make that trade, Von Miller wins another ring, good for him. Goes back to Denver where he's, I'm sure his family's, like, I'm sure he has a lot of real estate there, right? Like, he's lived there.
Yeah, you got the chicken farm and everything.
Hit myself in the face with the mic. You know, he's got all kinds of stuff out there. So, you know, he wins his ring. Good for him. Mid-season acquisition by the Rams. Then he goes back. And now he has another chance to win. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
That would make total sense to me.
Yeah. 2 minutes, Jim Salisbury. Let's go back to the phones. Rich in Brick, New Jersey. Rich, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey guys. Love your show.
Hey, Rick.
I was wondering, do you think we're going to do anything else besides sign a linebacker, besides sign a defensive player?
Yeah, they're going to do some more work. I mean, last year you saw, you know, they had the Eric Wilson signing. They still need a safety, right? So they're going to bring in another. Justin Reed went to the Chiefs yesterday. I know a lot of people were excited about that. So they have to. I mean, they literally have to fill holes.
Yeah, you know, I understand everybody wanting Russell Wilson and stuff, but I'm kind of glad because, I mean, we have 3 first-round picks this year, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get maybe 3 starters in the first round.
Unless you move one of those picks or 2 of those picks next year, because the quarterback class next year is much better. And
you could do that, yeah.
And I don't think the Eagles are going to, even though I think the Eagles take a step back, they're not going to be bad enough to be like a top 5 pick next year. If you move 2 of those, I'd rather not move 2. I'd rather just move 1. But if Howie Roseman, this is his job, if he believes it's going to take 2 first-round picks next year to move up to a top pick, and that way you have 3 first-round picks in the draft, so you'll still have 1, later on in the draft, something like that, it might be the move.
And I just have a question, too, for you. If Pickett's available when you get ready to pick, do you take him?
It's kind of like the Justin Fields conversation all over again, right? Like, Fields was available for the Eagles last year. They passed on him. They wanted to see what Jalen Hurts has. If they believe Kenny Pickett is the guy, I've been saying this from the beginning. Connor, you've been producing the show at times. If they believe that Kenny Pickett is the guy, then not you and me, Rich, not Connor, not anybody else. Sure. If they think Kenny Pickett's the guy, you get Kenny Pickett. But if they think, all right, next year the quarterback prospects are better, we'll wait till next year, then it's up to them to do that. It's not, they should not make any emotional decisions.
I tell you what, I would love to have Pickett because I saw him play in high school.
Okay.
He's from my area. Mm-hmm. He has an arm.
Yeah, he does, man. Obviously, the hand size is a concern. Yeah. I appreciate the call, Rich. That's obviously a concern for a lot of people, the hand size, because we always got to do the measurables, and he does have a fumbling history, which, hey, we dealt with that a lot.
Hey, the hands don't make
the man. We dealt with that a lot with Carson Wentz and the fumbling issues, but he had big hands.
That's right.
He had big hands, so I don't know. We'll find out, but Eagles
size
offseason
doesn't always matter, ladies.
Eagles offseason is going to be fascinating, but you know what else is fascinating right now, offseason-wise, is the Philadelphia Phillies, and I can't wait. I love, like, this is my time of year, man. I love baseball. Can't wait for opening day. So glad that we're going to have a 162-game season. I got the baby on the way, so I'm going to have the MLB package for these West Coast games so I can stay up late at night, and I'll blame it on the baby, but I'll be watching baseball in general. But now we get to go to the Comcast Business Hotline, talk to my man from NBC Sports Philadelphia Phillies Insider. That, of course, is Jim Salisbury. Jim, how is the weather down in Clearwater, Florida?
Oh, it's a nice day. Congratulations on the baby comes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's going to be an excuse to stay up late and watch more West Coast baseball that nobody really in Philadelphia cares about.
Yeah, what's the approximate arrival time?
May 3rd is the due date, but I have a feeling that he's coming early. I don't think we're making it to May 3rd.
He wants to get that's not necessarily a great Little League birthday, if I remember, but that's okay.
Yeah, and listen, we'll get there. You know, he's going to be one of the Phillies prospects down the road. You know, I know that for sure because it's not like the prospect list is that long, so he could stink and maybe still be in the top 100 for the Phillies.
I remember all those kids who had August and September birthdays. They got like that extra year of Little League, but I never got it because I was pre-August as well.
All right, well, don't break my heart already, Jim. Okay.
No.
Because I'm tying his right arm behind his back. I'm telling you right now.
Hit him a lot of ground balls. Teach him to throw long and use his legs.
Yes.
And throw him a lot of pitches from both sides of the plate. buy a ton of baseballs.
All right, yeah. I love a fresh bucket. It's a great smell, dude.
Yeah, you need about 40 of them, and then do all your fielding drills first. And
okay.
Kids love to hit, so the hitting is the reward. So
okay. All right, that sounds good. Maybe that's my problem. That's why I'm not in the big leagues right now, Jim, because I didn't do my field workout first. Now, you're down in Clearwater. You're getting a first look at some of these players that are all there. I saw that you posted a video of Sir Anthony Dominguez this morning thrown from the bullpen. So let me just start there. How'd he look?
He's about 40 pounds lighter. So, everybody looks pretty good in their first few bullpens.
Yeah.
The adrenaline is pumping. The big thing with Sir Anthony is he looks healthy. And he's down about 40 pounds. So he's really serious about his conditioning and serious about having a good year. And he could be a huge, huge X factor down there. So, but even he said, he's put in the work. Now it's time for some results. Obviously, we saw in his rookie year, he's got a lot of talent, but had that injury setback. But like I said, if he could deliver for these guys, it'd be a really nice X factor out in that bullpen. They've added some veterans, and Hand is kind of a roll of the dice, I think, because he had a tough year last year. But
yeah.
He's been a pretty good one, and he gives you some left-handed, and then you get Familia and Alvarado coming back, Coonrod coming back, big hard throws who don't necessarily throw a lot of strikes. So you really, the bullpen has been an annual issue with this team.
You don't say.
They have veteran power. They need strikes. They really need strikes.
Now, are you surprised at all by some of the moves that the Phillies have made early on? Obviously, we're still waiting to see what happens with Chris Bryant. There's reports that he could go to Colorado. Kyle Schwarber's linked to the Blue Jays. We're all going to be waiting on bated breath for Nick Castellanos. But so far, what they've done, you just mentioned Familia and Hand to kind of bolster the bullpen, even though I don't know how much that's really bolstering the bullpen. They're more professional pitchers than what you've had in the past. You had a lot of young arms before, but you also bring in Odubel Herrera back, and you were the first one to put that out, to report that Odubel was probably going to come back to Philadelphia. Are you shocked by that?
I was shocked when I heard it. I was, because, the last two plus years has been very difficult, very mm-hmm. controversial situation, and they brought him back last year, gave him a second chance. I mean, he had gone through the domestic violence suspension, and he paid a fine, and lost quite a bit of money. I think he made some donations. He apologized. It was a controversy in the clubhouse, but eventually the team accepted him. The players accepted him, and they got through it last year. He wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. But they got through what could have been a really difficult situation last year. And I just personally thought, well, you survived it. You got to the other side, and now it's over. You got a nice, neat, clean break. But here they are, and he's back here. I mean, there's just so many layers to it, and one of them is the failure of in the drafts, and the failure on player development side.
Well, isn't that concerning to you? Because it is to me. You're going into another season where you are planning to platoon in center field, right? They planned it last year. Roman Quinn, Adam Haseley was the opening day starter, which I'm sure people forget. You threw out Mickey Moniak. The year before that was Scott Kingery with Odubel Herrera and all that kind of stuff. Like, I saw the trade yesterday, Cincinnati Reds traded Jesse Winker to the Mariners, and I go, well, that would have been nice to have an everyday outfielder in center field.
Well, this in the last 6 years, they've drafted two center fielders, two mm-hmm. pure center fielders. In the top 8 picks in the country, in Moniak and Haseley. Neither one of them have gotten here. So that's a reason that they're in this predicament. They have not developed anybody. So the guys out there that were free agents were lackluster. The trade prices for top guys were high. They don't have a lot of trade chips, in my opinion. They have a few guys in the minor leagues that are pretty good that they really like and
yeah.
that I like, but I would be very protective of some of those arms. And, with Odubel, and it's a platoon. It's not a good, to me, it's a roll of the dice. And if it's not working by, June 1, I think they're probably out there looking to upgrade it. But, they think they can get by with it. And, it's not an expensive, they're not sinking a lot of money into the position. And that's going to allow them, I believe, to be aggressive in left field with a Schwarber, with a Castellanos.
Right.
With a Bryant, I firmly believe they're going to end up with one of those guys. I don't know which one,
They were down the road with Schwarber in negotiations before the lockout. So I think, you know, that's something that you can read into.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll see if they can get him. You know, he's represented by the same crew that represents Freeman. So maybe watch Freeman and see if he tumbles right after that. But kind of waiting for white smoke because I do expect them to make a significant signing, a significant addition in left field. And Dombrowski's an aggressive guy. They have a little bit of room under that tax and in their budget. Maybe there's a significant move and a lesser move that can be an impact move. And like I said, he's aggressive. I still wouldn't rule out him making a trade at some point here because there's a lot of desperation to get to the playoffs after missing a 10-year.
Well, see, that fires me up. And we're speaking to Jim Salisbury, covers the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. So you mentioned that they're probably, you hope or think that they're going to get one of those top three guys to play left field. So what's the plan after that? There was a report the other day that the Phillies were interested in Matt Chapman of the Oakland A's, but they didn't want to give up, you know, Painter, Abel, or Stott, like you just mentioned. So what's the plan after that? Because I guess Alec Bohm is your everyday third baseman. They don't want to sign a full-time DH, so you're not going to have Bohm full-time DH. So what do you think is the rest of the plan? If they make another trade, what area are they looking at? Because shortstop, you got Didi and Stott fighting for that. Gene's good at second base, I would imagine. You're set there. So well, really, it's the left side.
I don't know what the next move is. It might be some starting pitching depth because you have Wheeler and Suarez, who you know might be a little delayed, and we all know that you can always use extra starting pitching depth. But you know, if once they've addressed center field, once they address left field, and I fully expect them to do that, they have to. You know, you look at the next kind of glaring weakness is left side of the infield. Is it Didi at shortstop and Bohm at third base? Is it Stott at shortstop and Didi at third base? Is Bohm used in a trade? I don't know, man. There's a million ways they can go, but I guarantee you, they'll be creative.
Well, that sounds exciting to me. Now, I've been my dream for this offseason was to bring in a power outfielder, which you know it sounds like that's probably something that can happen. I wanted a veteran arm. Like I looked at a Zach Greinke. I know he's available. I know he's toward the back end of his career, obviously. But you look at what the Phillies have right now on the road to. Oh, we lost Jim. Jim Salisbury's off. I don't know if you could call him back. If not, that's fine. But Jim just disappeared. Maybe he's going to break some news.
That's it. I think he just got the text, probably.
You think he's
yeah?
You think he's going to break
three-way
some news?
Three-way signing, Bryant, Schwarber, and
listen, so we're up against the break. So do me a favor. Call Jim. Just say, hey, we lost you. You know, that sucks. What are you going to do? There is a baseball sign. No, it's not the Phillies. Okay. Well, we lost Jim. 610-632-0975. Maybe the... is he there?
Not right to voicemail. They clipped him.
Phone probably
Someone
died.
Someone got to him.
Phone probably died.
Yeah.
He's been recording video of all the Phillies. You know, getting the audio of the mitt popping. That is one of the best sounds.
Didn't think we were going to have that for a while. It's good to have that back.
Tunis guarantee. 162 games.
That's true.
Did I think it would get delayed? No. But Tunis guarantee, 162 games. Nobody wanted to believe me. 610-632-0975. That was Jim Salisbury. Join us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. The phone monster got him. All right, we'll continue the Phillies conversation as well as the Sixers and Eagles on the other side. We got 1 hour left right here. 97.5 The Fanatic. Oh, I got Betfair to tell you about. FanDuel Sportsbook. You know I absolutely love FanDuel Sportsbook. I love betting on FanDuel. And you get to start your bracket with a bang. FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge is giving new customers a $150 instant bonus guarantee. That's right. You'll get $150 in bonus site credit. And all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. Doesn't matter how you do it. You can bet, you know, any way you want. Line, totals, prop bets. You can go with a 16 seed, you can go with a 1 seed, you name it. You can do whatever you want. Which team would you like to take a chance on? Turn your site credit into cash plus, and with cash out, the ball's in your court. You can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. Join FanDuel today with promo code Fanatic. There's a couple of 12 seeds that I like. We'll talk about that more as the tournament gets closer. There's always a 12 seed upsetting a 5 seed. I like Arkansas to win some games in this tournament, as well as Villanova. So
go ahead. Have fun. Join FanDuel today with promo code Fanatic that you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit. That's promo code Fanatic. Must be 21 plus in present PA. First online real money wager only $10. First deposit required. Bonus issued is non-drawable site credit that expires in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the cuz. Anthony, a little under the weather today. Should be back tomorrow. We all hope. So final hour. Mikey Miss coming your way at 2 o'clock, of course. So we continue the Sixers reaction, as I'm sure he will later today. And the Phillies, I'm still waiting to see if Jim Salisbury is going to break something, and that's why he dropped off. Now, it's most likely his phone died because you tried calling him back, and he went right to voicemail.
Yeah, but we can still believe.
But I like that. Yeah, I like that story better. Like, oh, my God, he had to jump off to break news.
There's very little where we could choose the world we live in. A lot of stuff is outside of the realm of our control.
Yes.
I'd like to choose to live in the world where he got a text saying someone big's coming.
The Philly signed Bryant and Castellanos.
And Schwarber.
And Schwarber. And, you know, they traded for
Mike Trout.
Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom.
It's all happening.
Can't do that. Who's playing where?
We'll figure it out.
Bryant could play third. Castellanos left.
Trout center.
Harper right. Yeah. You can make that work.
Yeah, I'm sure they could figure it out.
Yeah, so maybe that's why Jim hung up. There was, Dave Dombrowski said, Jim, I got a major one for you. And he had to break it. So we'll see. We'll keep you up to date. We'll be refreshing Jim Salisbury's Twitter feed for the rest of the show. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Brandon on the cell. Brandon, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, man. How about this weather as opposed to Clearwater, man? It's just as nice here.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I was asking Jim because it looked bright and sunny. But yeah, this is beautiful weather, and it's the nice turn, right? I think it's 60s every day this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just reacting to what you guys were talking about—the losing on purpose to the Nets to avoid seeing them in the first round—and you guys were all up in arms about, oh, you can't do that. Well, what about the process? I mean, isn't that basically what we did?
No, totally different.
No,
you lost on purpose to get top draft picks. This is losing on purpose because you're afraid of playing a team, and I don't like that message at all.
I hear you. Yeah, it takes away from the sport.
Yeah, like I wouldn't. It's not even taken away from the sport. I think it's just a bad message. Like you're basically telling your team, right? So Doc Rivers would make that call. Hey, James, I don't think you're going to beat your old team in Brooklyn, so I need you to lose on purpose here. Like, would you want to hear that? Hey, Brandon, you're a terrible caller, but I want you to call in to bring the show down a notch. like you know what I mean? Like, that would suck. Like, yeah, you can't do that.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the call. You actually are a good caller. Don't worry. I don't think you suck. But see, you know what I mean? You can't lose on purpose to avoid a team, Connor.
I'm not saying lose on purpose. I'm saying if you have, like, maybe one or two games left and maybe Joel rests. Maybe he gets ready for the playoffs.
All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. That mentality thing, hey, you're absolutely right. Just for
me.
Hey,
Joe, you're the MVP of the regular season, but there ain't no way you're beating Durant.
I know.
No, so, like, Lou, miss that shot.
Literally, you look back in history, 100 times out of 100, you're absolutely right. Yeah. This year's just such a weird scenario with the guys that Brooklyn's been missing and the reasons why they've been missing them that it's now, listen, unique. I'd consider
we've seen it bite our teams in the ass in the past. Shane Victorino guns out the player at the plate for the Braves. You play the St. Louis Cardinals. You lose in the first round of the playoffs. Won 102 games that year.
Yeah. No, I listen. Yeah, I know.
That's been, it's bit us in the rear end before, winning when you probably could have lost.
It's not foolproof.
But come on, you can't lose.
I'm not even saying I guaranteed would, but yeah. I consider it.
Hey, we know we wanted to trade Ben Simmons out of here because we don't like him, but we don't want to face him, so let's lose on purpose.
I'm not saying you don't want to face him. I'm saying in the first round, if you can get more games for James Harden to get used to playing with these guys, because he's only had 24, less than that because he's going to rest still, you take series against the Cavs, you get him a little more used to it, you figure out who your rotation is going to be, if Doc actually pays attention to that. I don't hate that.
Tyrone's losing on purpose?
No, it's not about the losing on purpose thing. It's about why take a tougher path with a team that you uniquely in the circumstance.
I'm not Mr. Tough Guy who, like, you... Let's go back to 2017-18. You bet your ass I was rooting for the Jags.
Yeah.
I was rooting for the Jags.
I was actually rooting for the Patriots, so I'm on the opposite side on this one.
Bring on Blake Bortles. I know my Super Bowl chances are better facing Blake Bortles. For all you frauds, the 08 World Series didn't mean as much because they beat the Rays and then lost to the Yankees the next year. I wish the Yankees lost the next year in 09. Because what happened? Oh, we got the tougher test this year, and you lost. You lose. Hideki Matsui goes off. You lose. Good day, sir, as Tyrone plays. Like, come on, man. That's why I'm not about that.
Yeah, see, listen, we're on opposite sides of different years.
I'm with you. Give me the weaker opponent, but I'm not going to lose on purpose for it. By the way,
I got you.
You put it up on the screen. I appreciate it. Matt Olson to the Braves. 8 years, $168 million extension. So they're doing stuff. Freddie Freeman's gone, but they found a replacement.
Yeah, I didn't understand the people who were all excited about that trade being done because they're like, "Oh, Freeman's gone now." Well, yeah,
it's because nobody's watching the Oakland Athletics here.
I don't think it's an ignorance of Matt Olson. I think it's like, oh, we're so excited because Freeman just had the Phillies number. Well, like, no, there was a scenario where they didn't get a good first baseman.
Yeah, I know they got Matt Olson to replace Freddie Freeman. The Phillies are replacing Matt Vierling and Odubel Herrera with Matt Vierling and Odubel Herrera. That's what they're doing. Now, the Phillies didn't lose anybody talented. I forgot Archie Bradley's a free agent.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't lose. Like, that's the thing. Like, they didn't lose anybody, but you're staying status quo, which isn't good.
Especially when the Mets add two, maybe the best pitcher on the planet. The second best pitcher on the planet? Like, dude, you got to do something. This division's too good. You have a World Series winner, a team that's going to pay literally everybody. Status quo isn't good enough.
No, it's not good enough when the Braves are improving, the Nationals are improving, and the Mets have an owner that doesn't give a damn about his wallet. Taiwan Walker's their fifth starter in the rotation. He's a two on most teams.
That's pretty damn good.
Let's go to Theo in Narberth. Theo, you're in the Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
What's up, Theo?
Nothing much, man. Shooting us congrats on the baby, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things with the Sixers, not necessarily regarding last night, just regarding Harden and, you know, the team's identity. And by no means is that all the things that I'm thinking about watching these games, but mm-hmm. I know I only got so much time.
Yeah, go for it. It's all right. Take
first off, with Harden, you know, I was ecstatic when the trade happened. I think we won the trade. I think a lot of people get that confused, whether it's Nets fans or Sixers fans. It doesn't mean that we're saying we're a better team just because we said we won the trade. You know, I do think we won the trade. I think that, you know, that's always yet to be seen who's the better team. But
you won the trade because you got rid of a guy who was literally refusing to play. You got rid of Andre Drummond, who, yes, is he a better backup to Joel Embiid than DeAndre Jordan? Of course, but he's a free agent at the end of the season. So who cares? And then Seth Curry. I was upset that you had to part ways with Seth Curry, but the key words, had to. You had exactly. to part ways with him to make the trade. So you bring in James Harden, you're in a better spot.
Two role players and a guy who didn't want to suit up for us.
Exactly.
And you get James Harden. And now, like, what I'm touching on with him is, like, the first few games looked incredible. I've never been so excited watching Philly's basketball or Philadelphia basketball. Like, that was incredible to me. And originally I was thinking, like, the Nets game was not going to be a game to read too much into until I watched it. And then I was listening to you guys the next day, and I heard what Legg said, and it made me a little bit more concerned where he was saying there's a difference between playing bad and playing different.
Yeah, and he did play different, and I saw it again last night, dude. 11 field goal attempts for James Harden. in a game where Joel Embiid had to pull himself because he was gassed. Now, he had a good game, Embiid, and Harden had an efficient game, but sometimes, listen, you're James Harden. What are you doing?
And that's the whole thing is, like, you know, he's not going to the line as much. He's not driving as aggressively. And, you know, my whole thing with the whole playing different thing, I know, you know, we can, I will never make this comparison in any other situation, but when I was watching an Orlando game, I watched Harden aggressively drive into the paint and then laser the ball to somebody outside on the perimeter. And we watched that sad story in the second round of the playoffs with, you know, he who is yet to be named time and time and time again.
Yeah.
Obviously not even close to the same player, but I was watching that and I was like, really, in that particular situation, what's the difference? But that's all. I mean, obviously, completely different players. I'm ecstatic to have Harden. I can't wait till he drops that 30 game. And until he does, I'm going to keep putting a $5 bet on him to have 30 points and 5 threes, because eventually it's going to happen.
Always bet responsibly, Theo. I appreciate the call. He's going to do it at some point.
Yeah, he's got to.
Just, if you're going to, I'll say this, if you're going to put down $5 every game, well, you better make sure that the payout is more than what you're losing every night.
Yeah, that's got to be a like $100 winner.
And don't then put down 20 to try to make it up, and then 25, and then 30, because that's when you get into some issues.
That's true. Can't be doing that. Now, let me ask you real quick on the Harden thing, because we have brought it up a couple times, the becoming more aggressive, the getting to that 30-point threshold, the 5 threes, like getting to that point where he becomes more selfish, like Tom Moore was talking about. What gets him there? Is like, are we worried that to get him there, it might be like lack of trust in the teammates? Like, in a week, he may look around and be like, man, some of these bench guys that are in rotation, and like guys like Matisse, or if Tobias slumps again, I can't trust these guys. I've got to take over. Is that frustration? Are you worried about that at all? Or do you think he'll get there without having to get frustrated?
Well, I just think he has a moment where he goes, all right, let me take over real quick. He's done it before. He's not, like you said this earlier, he doesn't have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to fall back on. It's Joe, and there's going to be games where he's double-teamed. I mean, I saw a couple of times, it's happened a couple, even when things were going well, where Joe kicked it back out to Harden, it was wide open. And then Harden made the next pass. Sometimes I just want him to pull up and shoot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just like, what gets into that point? If it's frustration with who he's passing the ball to, outside of Joel Embiid, obviously, and most nights Tyrese Maxey, that could belay a bigger issue.
I think if he's frustrated when he's on the same court as Shake Milton and DeAndre Jordan, be frustrated and score. You saw a lot yesterday, a lot more than the previous two games with DeAndre Jordan, attempting the lob, the screen roll lob. Like, DeAndre Jordan's got nothing left. It's kind of sad, actually. I was watching the game with Christy last night, and I showed her highlights from Lob City.
The video of him throwing the basketball through the guy's face.
Yeah. I showed her like Lob City highlights,
right?
And then like I rewind. There was one part where DeAndre went up for an offensive rebound and like got this high up off the ground, right? And he didn't get it. Like a forward, you know, smaller, like a small forward out rebounded him. And so I rewinded. I was like, all right, you remember that video I just showed you? This is what he's doing now. And it's just like, all right, so maybe you don't try to force feed the lob every single time to DeAndre. Don't do that. Sometimes just pull up mid range, get to the rim. Because here's the thing, I saw him against the Magic. Now I get it. It was against Wagner. I said this morning during the crossover. He had a one-on-one with Wagner, who he's not going to stay in front of Harden. But Harden blew right past him, laid it in for two. He could probably do that every single time he wants, again, like on mismatches. And how many times have we seen Thibault set a screen and Embiid set a screen, and then just they move off because they get the mismatch? But then he doesn't take it sometimes. So that's got to, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, he's earned the right. Absolutely. He's a lock Hall of Famer to play the game that he feels right, and we got to trust him. We've only seen, what, 6 games of him now? 7?
It looks like 8.
8, yeah. Okay. I'm not a big math guy. But, like, he knows what he's doing. My thing, if I had to guess what it was, is he's coming into his third team in, what, 4 years?
Yep.
And he wants to prove... Oh, yeah. Jesus.
That trade happened last year.
I'm way off. I was so good to start the show. But he's he's got that narrative.
You're Spencer Howard. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
I need my peanut butter and jelly.
You're getting gassed. That's all.
But he's got that mental in the back of his head. And we saw it at the trade deadline where he didn't want to come out and request a trade.
Yeah.
Even though it came out. I think part of it is like he's trying to play the good teammate role so much that he's staying away from some of the stuff he does well.
Now, look, he gets to the line a lot, right? But here are your field goal attempts. So last night he only had 11. Well, he only had 12 against the T-Wolves, where he finished with 27 points, also had 12 assists. So very efficient night. 14 against the Knicks. He's 8 of 14, 29 points, 16 assists. The next game against the Knicks, 8 of 13, 26 points, 9 assists. 10 field goal attempts against the Cavs, 25 points, 11 assists. Another very efficient night. The two big shooting days, Nets 3 of 17, Magic 5 of 19. Now, that doesn't mean that when he shoots more, he has bad nights. Like, that's not what that means. But I don't know, maybe he felt off after the last two games, and that's why he only attempted 11 field goals yesterday, plus the times that he went to the line. I don't know, but he was 6 of 11. Like, it's not like he was shooting poorly yesterday.
Right, if he's shooting more.
If he's shooting poorly and wants to give it up, because they do have to respect the shot, which is why he has 11 assists yesterday, that's great. But in a night where Embiid is literally gassed, you gotta step up a little
right,
bit.
Right, like you gave the ball, like that last possession has plenty wrong with it, plenty other stuff, but like you got a guy who on the last shot of the game is hitting the top corner of the backboard from the corner. Like, take that shot, James, dude.
I'm not even saying that a hard. I'm saying that to me, that final play was Doc Rivers.
Right. But when I'm saying looks, in that
when it looks
in general,
ugly once they cross half court, the second it looks ugly, yes, once they cross half court, you can't save that timeout. And I get it. Plays break down in the NBA all the time, and somebody gets open. It happens. And George Niang is your best role-playing three-point shooter. So he had the open look. I'm not even saying that I'm upset that he took the shot. All I'm saying is when that play breaks down the way that it did, where Embiid goes to set the screen high, Harden picks up his dribble, I go, all right, timeout. Like, it doesn't look good. Call it timeout.
I think Doc has a cabinet at home where he keeps leftover timeouts and leftover challenges. And he stockpiles them.
And that's why I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not even people were upset that he didn't call a timeout right after the free throw. I'm cool with you bringing up the court. You have certain plays ready. But when it looks ugly once you cross mid-court, you still had 8 seconds. And that is a lifetime. Call a timeout. Get yourself set. Because, you know, once you burn 6 seconds taking your time going up to mid-court, well, now you got it to go for the tie. You got to go for the tie at that point. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Tunis?
Hey, Drew, how are you?
How you doing, buddy? I got to give a shout out to my boy, Connor, man. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Drew? How's it going, man?
It's good, buddy. It's been a long time since we got to spoke, but I'm glad to see you guys running the asylum. I like when the young guys take over the show.
Well, thank you, Drew. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I like your guys, what you bring to the table. So I always appreciate listening when you guys are on the air.
Thanks, man. I really do appreciate it. It's nice to hear.
Yeah, Connor, you're always a good guy to me whenever I called. And Tunis, you always tell it how it is. So here's my deal, buddy. I'm a hockey guy by nature. And yes, I'm an enemy fan. I'm a Penguins guy. But yeah, what happened last Thursday and last night? And I mean, even that win over the Magic, like, I wanted to be all in on this, and I'm still hampering expectations as I was talking to Haley before I got on the air. You know, like, I'm not concerned. I'm not really worried. But what I am is just kind of like, where are we right now? Like,
listen, I'll say last night was the first time I actually felt legitimately worried, right? The loss to the Nets, I could pin on emotions, and the Nets came out with more fire than you did. The Magic win, I was cool with, because I go, yeah, it was ugly, but you're playing the Magic. Players know that they're playing the Magic, and I think they went in there thinking it was going to be an easy win, and it wasn't. Last night was the first ping of worry that I've felt since the Harden trade, but I'm not going to start writing it off. I mean, dude, the amount of tweets I got last night that said, so are you finally worried? Is this just another game in the month of March? All those tweets, I also got the, I told you this trade was a mistake. I told you they shouldn't have traded Seth Curry. Those tweets are still ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I'm not there, man, by any means. I still think, you know, there's plenty of time to figure stuff out. So I'm not going to, like, you know,
blow a gasket over one bad game, you know, from Denver. So I'm going to still keep the faith and hope that these guys can, you know, figure out what their, you know, whatever's, you know, responsibility is in the rotation. And they got, what, 20-year games or so left?
Yeah, they still have, I don't want to say too much time, but they have some time to figure things out. And Drew, I appreciate the call as always, man. I mean, they literally said last night, hey, we got to get our asses back on defense. We've noticed the last three games, transition defense has been bad. All right, well, if you know that, then start doing it. Start doing it. And I think they will. I mean, I think they're starting to realize what their issues are. Doc's noticing that. Doc's starting to not play Furkan Korkmaz, right? These things are happening. But they now have to look for the fixes. Now, I have the YouTube up, and you look like an idiot with the way the headphones were on.
What, the sideways little?
Yeah.
Oh, I had them all the way up at the top of my head.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It looked silly.
Yeah, I like to be a little like silly looking. Silly looking.
Well, I know
is my
Tyrone's
baseline.
In there, but what I do is I go one ear on, one ear off.
Yeah, but here's the thing: like the left ear is the one that I naturally take off. I don't know why, and it's like the opposite side of Tyrone. He comes in from the right side where our studio is set
up. Why can't you just switch?
I don't know. It's just.
By the way, speaking of left, congratulations on the podcast. I've said this to you off air, but congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you. Really Locked On Phillies. Take a chance to check it out.
Really excited to listen to it. But when the lockout ended, all the contributors for each team, you guys did like a so excited baseball's back. You went left-handed glove.
No, I didn't. The video was flipped for whatever reason, the way they put it together. So we send that in and someone edited it up and then put together that package.
Really?
The video flipped the way you view it. You know how sometimes you look in the mirror, it looks like your left hand is your right hand or whatever. That was a right-handed glove. Just for whatever reason, the way the video came out, the sides were flipped, so it made it look like it was on my left, or my right hand, rather, and I was a left-handed thrower.
You did tweet me back, I just ignored it.
Yeah, you don't answer your phone, you don't answer texts, you don't tweet me back.
I'm really bad, dude. Let's see.
The only way I could get you is when I fill in on the show, and you gotta talk to me.
I know I went through the text the other day. I have 15 text messages right now. I have 15 unread.
Yeah, go through those. Some of those might be important.
Jim Salisbury's checked in. His phone died. By the way, the Phillies did make another signing. They brought in another reliever. This one's a little bit more exciting than Familia. Maybe they got word that Familia and Alvarado in the same bullpen's an issue. Dylan Maples with the Cubs last year. 2.59 ERA, 31 and a third innings, 40 strikeouts, 25 walks. So, all right. That's okay. We'll see. You need to add more arms. That's what you got to keep on doing. You got to keep on adding arms. That's not relying on the young guys like you have in years past. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. Mike Missanelli coming up at 2:00 right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1:00, 1:30. Jesus, second time I did that. 1:30.
Dude, I'm supposed to be the one jet lagged right
1:30.
Now.
1:30. 97.5 The Fanatic. Commander Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. Hopefully he will be back tomorrow. Mike Missanelli's show coming your way next at 2:00 with Jen Scordo and Tyrone Johnson. And then from 2 to 6 will be Devon, or 6 to 10 will be Devon Givens. My God.
Daylight savings time. Just blame it on daylight savings.
No games tonight. No Sixers, no Flyers. So, like, what do you do?
I'm going to sleep.
Now, yeah, because you're recovering. So, tonight, rumor has it that Thursday night will be my last night in Manayunk. Now, I will still have the keys to the place. I'm going to still be going back and forth. I work here, so it's nice that I'm literally right down the road from where I'm currently at. Rumor has it Thursday night's my last night. I got Beers with Bob tomorrow. Thursday, I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff, last-minute stuff. So today, I think, is going to be my last hurrah. You know, going bouncing around a little bit.
Oh, you guys shut the town down.
So I vowed to not have a drink until the baby was back, or baby's here. It's been 14 days, 15 days, since I've last had a drink. And my God, has it been terrible. Christy from the jump has said, you can't, just don't get drunk. Just, you know, have a beer or two.
So this is self-imposed.
Yes, this is all me. I just, you know, we had a little bit of a scare the other day. Not a scare, but like, you know, oh, is it time? And like, what if I wasn't ready? You know what I mean? What if I was indisposed or something?
Ah, that's a great story then.
No, it's not. No, because it would lead to a fight between my wife and I, and that's not a fun story. So I was like, all right, you know, let me just stop drinking. But I think I have to have like one beer. There's like two or three places I really want to go to today. Just to like, you know, take in the sights. I can't let go for a water.
Let me tell you something. I don't know when the last time you were outside is. I don't know what it was like when you came in around 9 o'clock before we started prepping for today's program.
It's beautiful out.
It's beautiful out.
Yeah, today's going to be tough. I think I might have to, I'll go all light today and then get back on it. 15 days is saying something. Not that I'm like, you know, not that I have stuff going on, but 15 days.
I can't tell you 15 days the last time.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Like, so when she got pregnant, I stopped drinking during the week because, you know, like I wouldn't come home and have a beer or two when she would have a glass of wine. You know, like we didn't do that anymore because she literally could not drink. So I was like, all right, well, what's the point? But like on a Friday night, you know, first two trimesters, she didn't care.
Yeah, they call those the drinking trimester.
But man, when she hit trimester number three, she got hit by a train. And I got stabbed by a plate. So like, you know, it was pretty bad in the Salchunas household. So I was just like, all right, you know, let me shut it down. See, 15 days, dude, I don't know the last time I went this long.
That's impressive. You are a man of strong resilience.
Yeah, I love beer. So I might have to have one today. Now, spring training happening. Phillies signed a reliever. Now, I have my man Joe Lee. Have you heard Joe Lee?
I haven't.
No, you haven't, because he plays in my Sunday league. But he's a Cubs fan, like diehard Cubs fan. From the beginning, not, you know, Rizzo Bryant, like since birth, Cubs fan. So he lets us know about Dylan Maples. Dude has some seriously nasty stuff. Sometimes it looks like he's throwing a wiffle ball. All right, that's good.
Love that.
Cubs fans have long dreamed of him as a high-end reliever, but his lack of control makes him practically unplayable. If he can figure it out, he's got the chance of being really good, just couldn't make it happen with the Cubs. I mean, his stuff is top-of-the-line disgusting.
That's perfect for the Phillies. This is the cookie-cutter Philadelphia Phillies reliever.
So I literally responded with, so he's Alvarado. Just from the right side. Because Alvarado's nasty.
Yep.
He just can't throw a strike. Oh, by the way, we have Familia, too, who struggles with control. So I like it. Like, I like the idea of it, but here we go again. So, you know, are we going to have 1.5 whips from everybody in our bullpen?
We can't. How many more years could the bullpen be terrible? Like, they got to be better this year. They have to be. They have to be.
Yeah, I think they're more professional this year. I do.
Like, even though these guys are washed, like, and also you're getting, like, what, another year out of Connor Brogdon, who now has more experience. You're getting a second year out of Bailey Falter, who saw some good stuff before, like, injury and COVID derailed him.
Yeah.
Like, there's some good pieces. You have a closer you might feel comfortable with your boy Evel Knievel. Like, they can't be worse.
Can they? Well, they can be, because remember, last year, they couldn't be worse than the previous season.
Right.
They blew more saves last year. Now, the previous season was a 60-game season, but they blew a franchise record in saves last year.
Yeah, but that guy's no longer.
It's not just one guy.
Wow.
Nowadays, you don't have a set closer, and I think that's stupid. Have a guy that can pitch in the ninth. Hector Neris did not have the stones. We saw that, right? But they kept on doing it.
Yeah.
Kept on doing it. He didn't have the stones to pitch in the ninth inning. He was great in the eighth, great in the seventh. He gets the ninth. He blows it. Ian Kennedy. Now, he was a closer, and he was pitching great for Texas, and then he comes, and he gets infected by the virus, which is what I'm afraid of. There is a virus in the bullpen. There's something going on.
There's got to be.
Because guys come here and they're infected immediately. One more baseball thing. You played baseball in college, you know. Is it still worth doing base running drills if you're a Major League Baseball player?
See, there was a point last year where there was like a month stretch where the Phillies got thrown out like every dumb way possible. So,
the reason why I bring this up, John Clark posted a video of Bryce Harper rounding third base with some other players, including Adam Haseley, who I hope never sees major leagues again with the Phillies. And it's just them rounding third, heading home. They got the cones set up, you know, run around the cones. Like, I remember doing that in Little League. And after you move on to the 90-foot field and then high school. You mean to tell me Bryce Harper doesn't know how to run? Like, listen, he might be overly aggressive and stupid, but he knows, you know, where to put your foot on the bag.
Yeah. Do they have, like, fielders on the field, or are they taking, like, BP or something? Because sometimes guys will just work on the timing of getting jumps off
the
swings.
No, it's literally just they have the cones set up, and they want them to do a, you know, certain motion around the base. Now, here's the thing. It's instincts. Like, it means nothing to me.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm all about. I saw them do tag workouts yesterday. All right, get that mental memory back. But rounding bases.
Yeah, but it could also just be one of those things where it's like, you got to check off the box. Like, hey, we went through it with these guys, even though we know they know it. Just like,
are they going to go, you know what? Adam Haseley, his rounding third base struggle. He struggles rounding third base in these workouts, so we're not going to keep him on the big league club. Or is it because he hits 220? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, ooh, yeah. Alec Bohm can't field, can't hit, but he touches third base with his right foot. He's on the club.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Now, listen, I'd rather than do this than practice winning a World Series like the Mets did in spring training.
That's true.
Now, let me ask you, are you a left foot or right foot on the corner of the bag?
Let me think about it.
I'm a right foot, but I know.
When would left foot be? It's got to be right foot.
I just saw Bryce do it.
That's so stupid.
That has changed. I only started seeing this in recent years where coaches have been saying left foot. It's like the whole don't slide head first because you lose a second sliding head first, feet first. I go head first because I can move my hands around.
What's the thought process behind left foot? It cuts down like your timer. Like,
probably.
The path. That's some stat nerd up in whatever office that's like, actually, you move 0.27% faster if you go left foot on the bag. And that could be dude, you're going to trip. Someone's going to trip over the bag because they're going to have their right foot dragged behind.
You're crossing your feet.
Because you're literally crossing over the bag rather than hitting the inside part of it. That's stupid. That goes from somewhere where people do not know the game of baseball.
Yeah, I don't get it, but they do it in baseball. My man Philly Ball and I went back and forth a little bit with the Ben Simmons stuff. Philly Ball didn't like that we made so much attention on booing Ben Simmons, but Philly Ball checks in. Those drills are simply for conditioning and getting back in the stride of things. I know that, but like, just do a 60.
Just run poles.
Just do a 60-yard dash, you know, in warm-ups, you know.
Yeah.
I just like, it's silly. Like when I watch the cones set up, hey, Bryce, you run around these cones and tag third base. Like to me, I get it. It's like kind of like a part of baseball. Listen, I'm a baseball freak, right? It's silly watching Bryce Harper practicing rounding bases.
We're in that part of the year now, though. Like free agency makes up for it, especially with how it is this year. But once free agency settles down, this is going to be we're in that part of the baseball year where it's just dumb spring training drills.
Yeah.
Trying to make something.
I mean, you only have 3 weeks until the season starts, and we're wasting time running around in cones. Jeff Mosher reporting. So Marcus Williams signed with the Ravens. But he just reported the Eagles were competitive in discussions with safety Marcus Williams. So they need a safety. The Eagles need a safety. They don't have one. Like, Ronnie McLeod he's at the end.
He'll be there if they want to.
You know, Anthony Harris was a one-year deal, and he was, like, okay. He was out there. Kayvon Wallace is not taking that step that you hoped for. So they need a safety. And Marcus Williams is gone. Reed goes to Kansas City yesterday. Now, I don't know. I wouldn't mind that. If they had all three first-round picks, I would draft safety in the first round. I would love that.
Yeah, but absolutely.
They're not going to have all three first-round picks. They're probably going to trade one or two. Part of me wonders, does the signing of Hassan Reddick, you use one pick still on an edge rusher in the draft, but you know there was talk of doing edge rusher and linebacker in the first round. Maybe you just do one of the two, most likely edge rusher, because you know the Eagles aren't drafting linebacker in the first round. And then you go to the safety with one of the two picks, if you have two picks. But they need a safety. It's been a long time, man.
They do, but they need, like, name your position on defense. They still need to fill it. Like,
yeah, but, I mean, Hassan Reddick coming in is going to bolster the defensive front, unless you trade Fletcher Cox, which is a possibility still. By the way, how come we haven't poured one out today? That they didn't tender Alex Singleton.
You know, you joke. He's led the team in tackles the past 2 years.
He stinks.
He's an over 100 guy.
He stinks.
He stinks as the number one linebacker on a team. He stinks as a number one linebacker on a team. If you compare him to another top guy. But
My man Quaz. He was one of the jurors on the John Kincaid show.
Love Quaz.
And Quaz, oh my God, the amount of arguments we got into. He told me Alex Singleton was the next Patrick Queen.
Okay, so that's too far.
I said, what? He said, I see a little Patrick Queen in Alex Singleton. I go, huh?
But he's not
a little bit of what?
But he's not Nate Gary. He's not the White Snake.
Here's where Quaz and where many other Eagles fans got confused. Nate Gary was so bad. So bad that when you saw Alex Singleton make a play, it was, oh, this guy's really good. No, he was just a step above 6 feet under. Like, that's how bad Nate Gary was, right? Then TJ Edwards makes two plays. Whoa, we got another Ray Lewis here because he was better than Alex Singleton. No, TJ Edwards might be an okay linebacker, which makes Alex Singleton a stinky linebacker, which makes Nate Gary not belonging in the NFL linebacker. We got a lot of people got duped by how bad Nate Gary was, and because Singleton was better than Nate Gary, because TJ Edwards is better than Alex Singleton, that we now have a linebacker of the future. I like TJ Edwards. Like, I like him. But there's improvements.
Yeah. I like Alex Singleton, but there are improvements. Oh, man. Oh, dude, he led the team into, like, I get his deficiencies. I'm not president of the Alex Singleton fan club, but I also don't think he's, like, not an NFL player. Like, Nate Gary should not be wearing an NFL uniform ever. Alex Singleton belongs in the league. He's just not good enough to be the guy or one of the top three guys.
Yeah, maybe on special teams he belongs in the league.
Stop. He's going to play for somebody.
No coverage skills.
He's going to play for somebody.
No coverage skills whatsoever.
Absolutely.
You know what, Alex Singleton, this is his job. A-gap blitz. That's all he did.
Yes, which is why I'm saying he can't be one of the top three guys.
No, he never got home.
He can't be one of the top three guys, which is why he's not here.
Oh,
because some team out there is going to give him money to be a starter.
Like, listen, his story's awesome, right? Like, you know, coming from the CFL, his story's awesome. But sometimes we get narrowed by stories. Everybody who ripped me for hating Robert Covington. How do we feel now when he took a shot at Philadelphia and then tried walking it back? Oh, you guys read my tweet wrong or my response wrong. What do you mean? You said Philly at its finest. What are you talking about? Well, I resigned there, didn't I? Yeah, dude, because nobody else wanted you. Like, some athletes, man. By the way, Topher on Twitter, he was taught left foot on the bag.
Sorry, Topher.
He said you might think it's unnatural, but it's an easy way to learn. It's quicker.
What do you mean? I can't comprehend. I got to go try it. Got some beer league softball coming up this
weekend. I've done it before because, again, a coach of mine made us do it in drills. But what happens during the game?
You revert back.
You go instincts.
It's like it's someone trying to teach you, telling you, oh, it's easier, which is just flat out wrong in this instance, to jump off the other foot in basketball.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Jump off your right foot when you're doing a right-handed layup, or left foot when left.
Yeah, you do know some analytics nerd is going to tell you that you're supposed to jump off the opposite foot.
And then you go in and you do it, and it's like that feels stupid, unless you're Ben Simmons, who can't figure that out.
By the way, speaking of analytic nerds, so we barely touched on it because they lost. So it's not like yesterday was fun, but Embiid won the battle with Jokic yesterday.
I don't know. We got to check the Raptor.
You got to Vorp. That's the other one. I saw somebody tweeting out, you know, some stat loser that covers the NBA for NBA stats. Like something, like, that's literally his job, is to only cover analytics. He wrote a book on analytics, and it was like, he put out like a thread. No, it wasn't even a thread of tweets. He had to do like a notes and post the photo of the notes explaining why Jokic had a better game, a more efficient game, which is why he's the MVP. But I'm just like, dude, really?
How about you watch the game?
That would be nice, right? But no, they are 100% just Googling Sixers Nuggets box score. And then, like, they do the advanced stats. You know, I don't get it. But yeah, Embiid won the battle yesterday.
Absolutely.
He won the battle. They didn't win the game.
But I'd rather them have won the game.
Well, yeah. And of course, I saw some tweet, Nikola Jokic beats Embiid in last night's win. I was like, well, no, the Nuggets won the game. That's true. But Embiid won the battle. Not that it matters. Again, I don't think it matters, but he at least won the battle, right?
Yeah, I just don't know how many of these stat nerds actually have a vote. Like, it's very possible, like the people we're seeing on Twitter, they do not actually factor into the NBA MVP voting. So it could just be like the stat nerds on Twitter that we don't actually have to worry about.
By the way, my man Joe on the YouTube chat, he wants you to get out of softball and play baseball again.
Dude, Joe, I've blown out my elbow two times on one side.
He wants you to join my league, which I'm not going to be playing much, you know, newborn. But, you know, come on, man.
I don't know if I got it left.
Come on, man, get back.
Blown out my elbow twice.
Who cares?
Too old for
this. You don't have to pitch.
I'm washed.
You don't have to pitch.
You should see my swing. There's a reason I was a pitcher only when I played.
Oh, man. Thank you for sticking around today. I appreciate it. Connor Thomas working double duty today. Hopefully, Anthony is back tomorrow. He's a little under the weather. So I had a blast. You know, I always love filling in. Obviously, I love it more when Anthony's here, but I love filling in. I have a great time talking to all of you on YouTube and on Twitter and on the phones as well. So thank you, everybody who called in. I appreciate Tom Moore and Jim Salisbury for joining the show. You'll be able to hear those again on 97.5thefanatic.com. But coming up next, it is the Mike Missanelli Show. Mike will be on from 2 to 6 with Tyrone and Jen. Devon from 6 to 10. No games tonight, so enjoy your Philly sports-free night. I'm Andrew Salchunas. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.